attention.
The Virus, Sirius 197, XM 202.
You're listening to Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine on 202. Is that a theme song?
I don't think it is, but I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
We're back. It's Weird Medicine, episode 4, A New Hope. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John. Hello, John.
Hello, Steve.
We have with us in the studio, Double Vasectomy Todd, the man who calls urine a tasty beverage. Hello, Todd.
Hey.
We got Jefferson the lawyer, the man who Steve Blatter calls that lawyer prick. And Rob from Elizabethan, who makes the ONA virus character look like frigging Shakespeare.
Hey, Steve.
Standing in as executive producer is Eric Nagel, taking the reins from Danny Ross, who usually pushes buttons and keeps us in line. In fact, John is sitting in Opie's chair right now. And,
yep.
And you get to push a button later.
Maybe.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, welcome to the first and still only uncensored medical program in the history of radio. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. And if you're new to this show, we try to deal with medical problems honestly, with plain language, and with no limitations regarding content. If you have a medical question, you might be embarrassed to take it to your regular medical provider. Give us a call at 866-WOW-1-WOW. That's 866-969-1969 for you imbeciles out there, and you know who you are. Double Vasectomy Todd will be checking Twitter questions tonight at twitter.com/Todd1017. I believe Mr. Greg Opie Hughes made a suggestion that you change your stupid Twitter name to something easier.
Yeah, he said it was way too damn tough.
It was
just
ridiculous. Every time I'd give it out, I knew nobody was getting it. So follow at Todd1017 on your Twitter. He'll be tweeting during the show, sending pictures and stuff. We'll have some guests later. Might be interesting. And also, if you have a question, you could try tweeting it to him. We'll try to get to some of those. Phones usually back up pretty quickly when we're on the show. Remember, it's 866-969-1969. Check out our website at drsteve.com, and you can do things that I'm contractually not allowed to talk about. But just go there and click around, and if you see something you'd like to have, perhaps you can figure out a way to obtain it through legal means. That's all I can say. Please remember, we're not your healthcare providers. Check out anything you hear from us with your regular doctor, PA, nurse, practitioner, acupuncturist, yoga instructor, chiropractor, high colonic administrator, Reiki practitioner, or whatever. Now, before we get into the show, I would like to say a word or two about a guy named Barry the Blade. Barry wrote to me a few months ago about whether Fiber One bars eaten in excess were actually bad for you. And what he was doing was eating like five Fiber One bars a day, and it gave him excellent duties. And he wondered if eating that much sawdust was really okay for him, and that, of course, spawned an immediate friendship. Barry eventually became a regular on Twitter, and when we wondered how truckers managed to evacuate their awful bowels, he sent us this message via our voicemail.
Hi, Dr. Steve. It's Barry the Blade. I'm going to explain the whole piss jug or juice can thing to everybody. Now, the piss jug or the juice can is only used for pissing in. You don't shit in the juice jug. You shit in your plastic grocery bag, like you get from Walmart or Safeway. That's what you shit in. And when you shit in those, you squat down, you shit in it, and then you toss it out the window. And hopefully you don't get seen doing so. And I got to say, the sound of your own hot, wet shit hitting the inside of a plastic bag is probably the most humiliating thing you'll ever have to experience in your life. Anyway, love the show, and look forward to hearing you in November. Later.
All right. Well, soon after sending us that absolutely brilliant message, Barry came down with pneumonia. He ended up on the ventilator for a few days, but then got better, and he came off the machine, and he thought he was going home in a day or two, and he stood up. and suddenly couldn't breathe, and he died of a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot to the lung, a few minutes later. His wife was with him. She got to tell him what a good husband father he was before he died. But this was our first kind of person that's you know, that we've lost since we've been doing the show for 2 years. And, it really bothered me.
What do you mean? What about Tippy Tom?
Well, and then Tippy Tom, too. You know, that's he was more an Opie and Anthony. This yeah. Barry the Blade was, you know, our guy. He was going to be our trucker hygiene correspondent. And he was a new friend, but a good friend, and we were just gearing up for him to get more involved in the show. And he will be and is greatly missed. So, truckers, give us a call. Tell us your horrid over-the-road bowel stories in honor of Barry the Blade. And, again, our number is 866-969-1969. And the phone lines are open. And what I'm going to do is go to Brett in Olympia. Hello, Brett. You're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, we started trucking about 3 years ago here in Seattle with Gordon Trucking, and really wanted to focus on trying to stay healthy. And one of the biggest things that we faced was how much junk food was out there at all the truck stops.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as soon as you walk into these places, the lighting is brilliant. The colors are all there. I mean, they just draw you in to junk. And so my wife and I, we've been team driving now for 3 years. We just decided that the junk was not where it was at. So like Barry the Blade, you know, we thought Fiber One was probably one of the best bets to go for, like a nutritional bar.
Yeah.
And what we ended up finding out was it was just clogging us up. I mean, we were just, our bowel movements were really bad.
Yeah.
So being said, we found that the best way to combat constipation was really fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
And really, that was probably the best thing that we ever experienced, was really going to nuts and berries and beans and rice. And for the 3 weeks that we're out on the road and we just really adhere to this rabbit type of diet, we find that our bowel movements are normal and we have energy, and then not doing the sugar. Sugar is the hardest thing. And for all you truckers that are out there that are listening right now...
And we have a ton of them.
Man, sugar... When I first started driving and I couldn't combat fatigue, the first thing I wanted to do was reach for a Red Bull, grab some Snickers,
yep.
and just be able to try to get through the night so we could trade drivers. And, you know, my wife would grab a couple donuts and, you know, a chocolate milk. And, man, we were gaining weight like crazy. And we came into this skinny, you know, and we're like looking at all these other men and women that are out there, and they were just huge, and we thought, what do we got to do to not be that?
Right.
And really the biggest thing that we found out was obviously quit sugar. And it was a little easier for me to quit sugar than my wife. She still smells it, sees it, and it's like, oh, chocolate, especially, you know, especially when it comes down to that, you know, menstruation type of the month, you know, she really feels the need to pound out some chocolate or whatever yeah. she needs.
Hey, Brett, can I ask you a question?
Did
you notice any kind of a change in your monetary value that you were spending on, say, the junk food stuff versus going with the fruits and vegetables? And,
it was huge. Actually, monetarily, you can step into any number of the truck stops across the world, pick up a nice little meal that you would think you'd like, and drop $10.
Yeah.
And if you didn't do that and you just went strictly towards what you had in the truck already pre-made for you that you have prepared, like carrots and celery and maybe some melon type stuff, the cost was huge. I mean, we're talking like big time savings.
Yeah.
Saving, okay.
It's, you know, and there are very few fast food places now don't have some kind of healthier option. You know, I think even at McDonald's, you know, they've got those salads and stuff, and the grilled chicken salad really is a pretty healthy meal. I don't know
it
about
really
some.
It really is, and you still get that chicken protein that's in there, and you get some veggies, and that
yep.
helps clear your colon, really.
Yep. A lot of people may be wondering. We actually, you know, we had asked Brett to call in. Brett wrote a quick article for us for our website at drsteve.com, and if you go on there, there's a whole section on trucker health, and his article is on there. And I really appreciate that, Brett, because we have a lot of truckers who are listening to this show, and we really appreciate our trucker friends. And you know, without them, you know, commerce would grind to a halt in this country, and we just want you guys to be healthy. And so I really appreciate your efforts toward that. And you're a great example, man. I really appreciate
it. Well, you know
it.
What? There's a big change that has taken place. We all know what's going on with the healthcare changes. And one of the biggest things that I think we all need to worry about, some of us that are overweight and some of us that are not overweight, is that with the healthcare changes that are going to be in our face very soon, our employers are going to want to change the way that we eat.
Yep.
Based on on insurance.
Yeah.
You know, and if they see us being heavy, they're going to start to mess with us. So let's get a hold of it now for everybody that's out there that's listening, and start to adhere to some of these ideas. You know, most of us are out there for 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
So if we can just go on the beans and rice and beans type of diet and eat like rabbits for that 3 weeks that we're out on the road, and then we come home to our families and just eat normal when we're home,
yep,
you'll start to lose weight, and I think everybody will be happier.
Cool, man. I also recommended, for an exercise regimen, get a DVD player, get P90, and I promise I have no financial association with P90, and get some resistance bands, and it is an awesome workout that you can do in the cab of your truck, you know, or anywhere else. Hey, Brett, we're going to have to move on, man, but I really appreciate you calling in, and good job, and congratulations on being healthy. And what's the way that you would signal for a fallen brother? Should I be asking the truckers to honk their horn for Barry the Blade, or is it just enough to say that we miss him?
Oh, I think it's just enough to say that we miss them. You know, if everybody wants to go out there and hit their initiation lights and give a good blink.
Okay, man.
That'd be cool. We're all listening.
All right. Hey, really appreciate it, man.
Cool. You guys are great.
Okay, good night.
Thanks.
All right. Well, and I really appreciate what Brett has to say.
Right.
And it is possible to be healthy out there, and it's a little bit harder to do, but you got to do it. But of course, this is Weird Medicine, and what would Weird Medicine be without a good shit and a snowstorm story in the truck? So let's go to Tony in Canada. Tony.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
How's it going, man?
Not bad. The first year I was driving long haul. Good tip for the truckers: if you're driving up north and you're driving in the winter, always carry an extra roll of toilet paper in your truck, because one time I was in a snowstorm trying to find about 2 a.m. trying to find a place open, couldn't find anything, and I hadn't gone for about 3 or 4 days, and it finally really felt like I had to go, and all that thing I could do is pull over right on the side of the road, or what I thought was the side of the road, which turned out to be pretty much just the right lane. And open my reefer door so I'd have a wind from the – I didn't want my truck to smell and the shit in the bag like the guy said. And pulled my pants up and went into the truck and scrambled for something to wipe my ass with. And all I could find was some old paperwork. And the good news is I got out of the truck and then used some snow. The snow is a pretty good cleaner, but
right
up in your gut. But, yeah, that's – and to reiterate what the guy was just called in saying is – I lost 40 pounds within a few months, not eating at truck stops at all, just bringing my own food in the truck with me. And I stay away from restaurants, even though they have a healthy choice. I just know when I smell that grease and I see that food.
You got to have it.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it. Yeah. So I even make my own coffee so I don't start, you know, if I go buy a coffee, I'll eat a donut or something.
Do you have a refrigerator in the truck?
I got a refrigerator, microwave, all that.
Wow. Okay.
I always thought it was stay away from the yellow snow. So apparently,
stay away from the brown snow.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, punch up.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. You're listening to Weird Medicine, 866-WOW-1-WOW, 866-969-1969. I've got Norris, who's a trucker who disagrees with what Brett was saying. Go ahead, Norris.
Yeah, Steve, I got a thing that guy that called in earlier about, you know, the companies that they're going to start telling us how to eat.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. This is still a goddamn free country.
Yeah, I hear you.
And a company tries to tell me what to do, I'm going to tell them to kiss my ass.
Well, I think, you know, we're going to be talking about health care reform in the 11 o'clock segment, but I do think that what we're going to be looking at in this country with health care is two things: outcomes by doctors, you know, whether the doctors are doing the right things, but also I think they're going to be keying some stuff into patient lifestyle too. And if you're overweight and not eating the way that they think that you should, then your premiums may go up. There's not really much else they can do, but there is that.
Oh, and then I just heard an example of me. I had a shoulder that got hurt. They ended up taking my health insurance away from me, and now I can't even get it.
Yeah.
Why don't they go after these insurance companies and get them to get their shit together instead of screwing with us?
Well, I think Obama, that was a big part of his reform plan, was to stop cherry picking by insurance companies. Because if you've got an insurance company that's allowed to kick out people that are sick, let's just say all of them do that. You got a bunch of people that are sick, and you kick them out of the insurance system. Well, what are you going to end up with? Is a bunch of uninsured people who are sick as hell. The only people that are going to have insurance are healthy people.
Hey, and by the way, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but question, how much do you weigh?
I weigh right at 195.
Good.
And how tall are you?
6 foot.
Oh, see, so he's perfect weight.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
So you don't have anything to worry about, but I understand what you're saying. That, you know, it still should be a free choice whether you want to take care of yourself or not, but it does cost society more money to have people who are unhealthy. I mean, we are the most unhealthy nation I can imagine. It all started with fast food. And, Norris, the noise in your truck is just killing me, so I'm going to knock you out, but I appreciate you calling. And then,
Steve, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, sure.
On my shoulder, they did a Copeland procedure. Have you ever heard of that?
What was that again?
A Copeland, C-O-P-E-L-A-N-D procedure.
Huh.
No, it must be, what did you have wrong with your shoulder?
Oh, it was like that ball joint on the end of your shoulder. They sawed that off and put this stainless steel cap on.
Oh, so you had a total shoulder replacement or a resurfacing?
They called it a partial replacement,
yeah.
And it just... it has not done good at all. It's hurt. So today I woke up from surgery.
How old are you?
I am 43.
Oh, that's early to be having something like that. Did you have an injury to your shoulder?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, yeah. So you must have had something go wrong with the problems, arthritis from the surgery, or arthritis from the injury, and then they ended up doing that. Yeah, I have no idea what the Copeland procedure is.
Okay, yeah, maybe they may call it something else, but it's just a...
or it's just a certain technique they use.
Humeral resurfacing. So.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, partial.
Cool, man. I'm going to let you go. The static is just killing me, but I do want to say a few things about your point that you made on healthcare. So thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Okay, that's Norris, the trucker. And I don't remember the point I was going to make, so there you go.
Did it have to do with somebody telling you what to eat versus healthcare?
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, it should be a free choice.
Yeah.
But we are the most unhealthy we've been in years. And if you go back and look at, like, Super Bowl video from the 50s, or, you know, films from the 50s, hardly anybody is fat in those. And then if you look at them now, hell, everybody's fat.
Right.
And we're not getting enough exercise. Our American diet is loaded with carbs and you know, just low residue stuff, and we're not eating enough fresh fruits and vegetables, and everybody says that, and you know, I sound like a broken record talking about fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains and stuff, but it really does make a big difference.
Rob from Elizabethton made a good comment today while we're walking around New York City. He said, you know, I haven't seen as many fat people here as I do from when we're at home, and I would agree.
Really? You notice that?
Yeah. Oh, it was like 1 in 50 here.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Or less. I mean, it was like,
yeah.
Or, you know, 1 in 100. I
well,
mean, technically.
We have a lot of foreign tourists here, too. And you know, when we were in Spain, I don't remember seeing anybody that was obese except for American tourists. So.
Right, but I was in Colorado just recently. And
same thing?
Yeah, no fat people.
Yeah, but we live in the South, so.
Right, we got fried food and our lifestyle's different.
Biscuits and gravy.
Oh, that's nothing right. Better.
Now, you know, the thing about biscuits and gravy, and people who aren't from the South don't understand, but it is so good.
Right.
But it's, I mean, what is gravy? It's fat, and flour and milk, right? And then what's a biscuit? It's fat and flour and milk. So you're taking an uncooked biscuit and putting it on top of a cooked biscuit, and then you're eating it.
Sure. Yeah, and bacon.
Yeah, and bacon and sausage and stuff. All right, we got Bill from Pennsylvania. Bill, you're on the Weird Medicine.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Steve?
Hey, man.
It's good to hear you live, man. It was good to hear you on Friday on Open Anthony and Ron and Fez, too. Yeah, I just have a quick question. I lost 50 pounds in the past probably about 6 months. I'm a truck driver. I'm lucky enough to work for a company that has a bunch of operating centers. It's one of the biggest companies and a lot of operating centers around the country, and they have workout machines and stuff like that. I've been driving for 5 years, and I've put on the weight in 5 years, and then, like I said, it took me about 6 months to lose it, mainly from exercise and dieting and stuff like that. I would like to lose another 20 pounds. I'm having a really hard time. I understand I probably put on a lot of muscle because I have been working out. I got recommended the Ali pills. They have this Orastat in it. It was, I believe it's the same pills maybe Jill McLeaney had taken.
Okay.
I just kind of wanted to get your take on them. If they help lose the extra weight, or if you just don't recommend them or something like that.
Well, Ally is a half strength of the full of the prescription strength for Zenical. And what it is it's a fat blocker. And so when you eat fat, it prevents you from absorbing it. And so you excrete it through your bowels. And that's where you get the oily turds and the explosive diarrhea and all that stuff. Here's the problem I have with something like Ally. You could probably lose 10, 15 pounds. You could lose at least 10% of your body weight doing it that way. As soon as you come off of the pill, you're going to probably gain that weight back because you're not making a fundamental change to your lifestyle, you know? And so I always have trouble with these kind of stopgap approaches to dieting, where you do something for a while and then you stop doing it. If you took the thing forever, it'd be great. The problem is that you've got fat-soluble vitamins that you may be losing, through your stool. So, you know, over time, it could cause, vitamin deficiency. So I'm not a big fan of it. For someone who wants to lose weight to fit in their wedding dress, maybe for a few weeks. But I'm not a huge fan. Although people do lose weight with that stuff, and usually about 10% of your body weight. How much do you weigh now?
I started out, my biggest, I was 267. I'm down to around 215.
Okay, good
job.
So
I'm about 5'11", 6 foot.
Yeah, so you could think that you would lose about 20 pounds.
Yeah, I'd like to get down. I was in the Army before I drove truck, and when I joined, I was 200.
Yeah.
My lowest when I was deployed over to Kuwait and Iraq, I was right around 285 or 185. So that's why I figured my ideal weight should be.
Tall are
my
you?
Body type.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'11", 6 foot.
So 11 times 2.3, if everybody remembers, we've talked about this on our midnight show, it's 2.3 kilos for every inch over 5 feet, plus 50 kilos. So plus 50, so that'd be about 75 times 2.2 to make it into pounds. Your ideal body weight, according to this, would be around 165, but I'd say 165 to 185 if you're a large frame.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit bigger. I'm a little bit more muscle, I think. Yeah, I appreciate you answering my question. Also, I really like when you talk about, the space and the universe and stuff like that. you don't dumb it down as much as Kaku does, so I really enjoy when you talk about it. So if you guys do more live shows, I'd appreciate maybe a segment on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. If someone's got a science question, we'll try to field it. Pepper Hicks sent me a really cool link of a mashup that somebody did of Carl Sagan, and I'll put it on my website at drsteve.com on our website, and it was a beautiful mashup, and it really, to me, illustrates why Sagan was the greatest at popularizing science. I mean, it was just the sense of wonder that he had, that, you know, he could describe large numbers, he could describe the mysteries of the universe with just this. And I just get chills listening to this thing. So we'll stick it up on our website as soon as we get home. Let's see here. I've got.
What about number two?
Okay, yeah, let's go to two. That's Wayne in Alabama. Wayne, you're on Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve and his little pals.
Hey, Dr. Steve, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I have a severe case of Peyronie's.
Okay.
In that the penis seems to be shrinking from the head back.
Okay.
And about the last 2 inches of the penis, if you consider the urethra the bottom, about the last 2 inches is pointing pretty much straight up and starting to turn back.
Okay.
Sex is very uncomfortable for my wife. And the only thing the doctors will tell me is to take vitamin E, but it's not helping at all. Is there any kind of surgical procedure that can be done to straighten?
Yeah, there is, actually. Now, vitamin E alone, who are you seeing for this, by the way? Are you seeing your regular primary care doc, or have you seen a urologist?
He sent me to a urologist.
And the urologist just told you vitamin E?
That vitamin E, he said, take vitamin E and let's see what it does. But it didn't. I took it for a year and it didn't do anything.
Okay, did you go back and see him, though?
Yeah, but he...
What did he tell you to do with the vitamin E? Did he tell you to take it in a pill form? Or did he tell you to get a vitamin E capsule and take the little capsule gel, poke a hole in it, and rub it on the Peyronie's?
Yeah, he just told me to take it orally.
Orally?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Usually, if a doctor tells you to do something and it doesn't work, that tells them something. And normally, you would go back and say, I did the vitamin E for a year. That didn't work. Let's do something else. And then normally, the urologist would say, okay, well, let's go to plan B. And then if the plan B doesn't work, I've got plan C and plan D and so on. And the very last thing would be surgery.
Right.
So there are injections that they can do. There are some medications that they – and, you know, getting a needle stuck in the base of your schlong is no fun. But if it would help for the Peyronie's, it might be worth doing.
Physical therapy, ultrasound?
I think they do an ultrasound. It's called phonophoresis, where they put steroid cream on the surface of the penis and then drive it in using the ultrasound, and that works. In some cases, in extreme cases that are refractory to everything else, surgery is indicated. Mm-hmm. Now, there's several different surgeries. There's one called Nesbitt's tuck, and that's you lose a little bit of length, but it will even you out. There's one where they can put some scar tissue on the other side of the penis to straighten it out, and then you can get the other. If everything else doesn't work, you can get a penile implant, and then you can have a permanently controllable erection that you can pump from a little switch in your scrotum. That obviously would be the last, the last resort. But
okay,
but there
in
is.
That instance, do you still have sensitivity?
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. With the penile implant, you mean?
Yeah.
You do, because the nerve endings are on the outside on the skin, and so they're careful to do it with a procedure that's going to miss most of those peripheral nerves. But you got to talk to him about it.
And you got to try those other things first.
And you got to try the other things first. So I would go back to the guy and say, look, I tried this for a year. It didn't work. What's our next plan? And that usually will work with most doctors.
Okay.
Okay, man. Good luck with it.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of penis lengthening, this is probably a good time to talk about Double Vasectomy Todd's penis lengthening challenge. For those that don't listen to our midnight show, they may have missed this. We did a penis lengthening challenge, and the trick on this was not to take any medication. It was to use a study that we found on PubMed that was in the medical literature that showed that for every 35 pounds you lose, you gain 1 inch of penis length. And so we got Double Vasectomy Todd. We're not going to do some dumbass weight loss challenge. I mean, if we're going to lose weight, we want to have some benefit. And definitely bigger, meatier penis is a good endpoint, no pun intended. So Todd went on MJ at MuscleSorority.com's program, Mary Jo Carlisi now. That's Steve Carlisi's wife, and she slimmed down Bob Kelly, and he looks great. I saw him on Thursday, and he looked fantastic. And then she did yours as well.
Yeah, she did a great job, too.
Yeah.
Her program was, a lot of protein, a lot of complex carbs in the mornings, and then we've been talking about leafy vegetables, since the show started. But it really is that simple. That and work out, and your weight's going to go down.
Yep. And you lost...
Oh, gosh. Now, let's see. I lost almost 80 pounds total.
And gained?
3.5. Almost 3.5 total.
Okay.
I remember it being... But it was, what do we call the bit officially? 2.25?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. I think at the end of the bit, you were at 2.25. But 2.25 inches, when you're talking about something that's 6 inches, is not trivial.
No.
That's a big deal.
Trivial to me.
And, you know...
is it a big deal, or is it a big...
I don't even understand what you're saying. Hey, Franklin.
Hey.
Well, he thought it was funny. Okay, I guess I missed that one. Hey, Franklin, how's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, Steve?
Hey, I heard you had lost some weight.
Oh, dude, some weight, man. I lost 115, 120 pounds or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I've lost more than my girlfriend weighs.
Wow, is that right?
Nice. Yeah.
I'm sure she appreciates that. Now,
well, yeah, she appreciates it. Well, honestly, she tells me that she doesn't even see a difference until we look at pictures. So, I like to say love is blind.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, that's cool, man. So have you noticed any improvement in your penis length?
Yo, you know what? I got to tell you the truth. We were arguing about it because she would say that it did. And I'm saying, if that's some bullshit, that can't possibly happen. And then I heard your last show, and I'm like, hey, honey, I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, it really makes a difference.
It, dude, honestly, now that I'm looking at it, it's like, yeah, I wish I actually measured beforehand because I have no idea the change. But I can see that it's much bigger than, just, you know, in proportion to my body now.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty happy to be wrong, huh?
Yeah, right? One of those times where you're glad to say you're wrong. It's like, tell your friends I'm wrong.
Now, you've been in the media lately. Tell us a little bit about that.
Weirdest experience ever, man. It's like I get a call like about two Thursdays ago from like President Obama's staff, and we had been selected for a video that we did to support his health care plan. And it's called Angela's Story. And if anyone who's listening hasn't seen it, they can go to our website and see it at cypherproductions.com.
Okay.
Or they can go to lastnightinbrooklyn.com, same site. And you can check it out. And I think the voting just closed tonight, but check it out. It might not have.
Are you serious?
It might not have, though. So check it out. Check it out.
Okay, so go to your website at cypherproductions.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a link there to where you can vote for this thing to be... And what's the thing that you win if it comes out number
one? If we win, we're in the top 20, and if we win, we become a national television ad for healthcare reform.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's incredible.
And, you know, when you first texted me or emailed me about it, I was like, I don't have 20 minutes to sit and watch this thing. It's 30 seconds.
It's 30 seconds.
Yeah, so everybody can go and check it
out.
Yeah,
and honestly, all the videos there are 30 seconds. And it's just odd to me because it's like to see your work actually make ripples about something that can actually be voted on today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was watching the C-SPAN a little while ago, and they've been debating it all day.
Yeah.
It's so hard to even listen and figure out what the actual reality of it is. But, you know, whatever the policy is, we need to take care of each other,
yeah,
and the worst of our society is a horrible reflection on all of us.
Dude, I've got 44-year-old patients with end-stage cancer who can't afford their pain medication because they lost their insurance, and they can't even get on Medicaid, and they have no – I mean, they lost their job, they're getting ready to lose their house, and they're getting ready to lose their life, and I have a real problem with that.
Dude, it's a heartbreaking thing, and the idea that – we think that because these people, whatever your political reason is, it's like, are you going to turn your back on somebody in need like that?
Yeah.
It hurts me to think that we would actually legislate a reason not to.
Yeah. And then it's just, how do we do it? That's the question. We know we need to do it, but there has to be a safety net for those patients of mine who, you know, we can get them their chemo. That's not a problem. We can get the chemo for free from the drug companies. They've never said no. And we can do our thing for free. You know, but it's the part that we can't control. Like if they have to go in the hospital isn't going to give them care for free. Sometimes they will, but
I have a question also.
Yeah.
What about alternative medicines? Like I personally recently lost a friend from cancer, and I've had other family members that passed from cancer, and I saw this documentary called The Rick Simpson Story, Run from the Cure, and there's scientific proof that hemp oil, concentrated THC, kills cancer tumors.
Yeah. Here's the thing on that. You sent me a link on that, and I haven't had time to fully evaluate it. We know that there are cannabis receptors in tumors, and we know that there are cannabis receptors in other parts of the body all over the place. And, I mean, that's why pot works, because it's hitting a receptor that the body, you know, of a chemical that the body naturally makes.
Right.
And, but we don't always know what those receptors are doing. For example, we've done lots of studies on narcotics, and certain narcotics will hit a tumor cell and hit the tumor receptor and will slow tumor growth. Mm-hmm. But we can't nail down yet which narcotics for which patients every single time. And so, and there are some people that if you stimulate those same opioid receptors, it'll make the tumor grow faster. So it's something that we're working on. Mm-hmm. That the fact that this guy was cured of his cancer because he took hemp oil doesn't mean that that's going to work for you and me. What you have to...
The thing that fascinated me, though, was that once he did that, he started spreading it to other of his people of his age group in his community.
Yeah.
And all different forms of cancer, they were cured.
Yeah, I'm smelling some shenanigans on that one, I'm willing to look at. I've got an open mind. And,
let me give you one more thing to check out before you go.
Yep.
Check out Dr. Bruce Lipton. Okay, now here's another idea. Your cell, your consciousness, influences your cells.
Sure, I you can't argue with that. I mean, stress obviously causes people to be sick, so you can't separate mind from body. I agree with that.
Yeah, this cat is he took all the pieces of the cell, section by section out, and he realized that the cell still performs its functions as long as the cilia outside the cell can still receive impulses from the environment.
Oh, that's malarkey! I got it, dude. That one,
that one's
malarkey.
I want to hear the truth about that
one. We'll look into it. All right, man.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later.
I really appreciate you.
Man, talk to you soon.
Okay,
have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Peace.
You know, one of the things about how you evaluate these kinds of things, there's anecdotal evidence, meaning that people just tell you, "Well, this worked for me." And that is one level of evidence, and it's very low level of evidence. The way that you figure out if hemp oil cures cancer is you take 100 people with cancer and give 50 of them hemp oil, but they don't know it, and you give 50 of them a placebo, and they don't know it, or mix it with standard treatment so that you're not giving cancer patients a placebo. You know, you would give them the normal treatment, and then half of them you would give hemp to and half you wouldn't. And then if there's a statistical difference in their outcomes that's favorable, because it isn't always, sometimes we do stuff and the statistical outcome is that it's worse. But if there's a favorable difference, then you can say with some, and then the study has to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And if other people can repeat your results, then you can say, yes, this is a valid treatment. But not until then. And saying that I was cured by this, you may have been. But it may be that it was a perfect storm and it will only work for you. And so you cannot generalize it until you try it in the general public.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there. All right. Where'd the H1N1 question go? Andrew in D.C. Andrew, you're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, man.
I quickly looked up the Copeland surface replacement procedure for you.
Yeah, okay, cool, man.
Here's the difference. Instead of it being a surface replacement in post, like normal, it's actually just a surface replacement with, like, a small post. You know what I mean? They only replace the one side of the ball joint.
Okay. Okay, does that make sense to you, John?
Yeah, because then once that one fails, they can go back and replace it again.
So it's a money-making
post. No. It's... you want to do as little as possible whenever you're replacing a joint. On somebody that's really young, so you'll have part of it, and then later after that one side wears out, the other side you'll go back and replace, do the total shoulder, and that would have a larger stem.
Okay. Okay, cool. Hey, thanks, Andrew. That's awesome.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
No problem.
You had a question about H1N1, though.
Well, remember we talked about this earlier where they found the case of H1N1 in a cat. I want to say it was Kansas or one of those, you know.
I think it was in Iowa.
Iowa, one of those awful states. So what are the possible ramifications of this where, you know, now we thought it was just, you know, it was the swine flu and it was also affecting us, but now it's possibly able to be you know, transferred through cats and other household pets?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what happened. You know, these viruses can be transmitted to other animals.
Right.
And that was pretty well known. This was expected. We have a lot of close contact with our animals, and they can sometimes get them. For example, when the avian flu hits in Asia, a lot of, you know, whole flocks will die, and some people will get it, but it's from direct contact with the birds, and they haven't transmitted it from people to people yet. And it's the same thing with this. This Iowa cat was 13 years old. Two or three of its owners had H1N1, and it started showing malaise and appetite loss and stuff. And so there isn't any report of seasonal flu in cats or dogs, but this wasn't that unusual. You know, the H1N1 is a combination of one part from pigs and one part from birds, I think. And so it wouldn't surprise me if a cat got this. Now, if it started roaring through the cat population, the thing that you worry about is that it then will mutate and then come back at us in a more virulent strain.
Right.
As it is right now, this H1N1 virus, the mortality of it is estimated by the CDC to be about 0.4%. So let's say it's a 0.5%. So of every, 200 people that get it, one is likely to die.
So if it mutated and from a cat gene?
Yeah, and what you're worried about is that as it passes through another animal, that it mutates and then comes back at us worse.
Could we then call it pussy flu?
P.A. John, everyone.
Yeah. Steve, actually, I have one more question for you.
Yep.
This is actually sound like quite an interesting case. A few years ago, 2003 to 2004, I was in the Middle East. I developed a rare bacterium, though, a Middle Eastern bacterium, in 2007. Hadn't been back to the area since. I was the third case in 5 years. You know what I mean? And the only possible way I was able to get it was that I got it in country back then, and I didn't erupt until almost four years later.
And I'm sorry, and what was it? I got distracted for a second.
You know what? I don't even remember.
Okay.
It's one of those things where it's like they were concerned because it was showing leukemia-like symptoms at first.
Is it Acinetobacter? I can't remember.
Acinetobacter?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. What kind of – what actually happened to you?
All right. So first it started out with –
Reader's Digest version, but yeah.
A small low-grade fever that erupted to about 105.9.
Okay. Wow.
In about a few hours.
Okay.
Slight convulsions, then hospitalization. I was put into a negative pressure room, away from everybody else. And then, of course, they came at me with the cancer, and then we don't know, a week later, they finally figured it out. But then, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, barely anybody's got this in years.
Yeah. Wow. You know, well, dude, I have no idea.
And where was it?
I'm not worried. I'm fine now.
Okay,
it's more of a question of, and maybe this is, something for people to think about where, you know, you go to an area and then you don't get sick for years to come, almost like, you know, HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, or Lyme disease. Or syphilis is the same way, that it will lie dormant for a long time and then come back. So,
oh, please don't say that.
No, I'm just saying, you know. Good luck, man. Just email me. You guys, if you have any questions you want to go directly to me with, you can email me at drsteve202@gmail.com. We also have a voicemail. And, hey, Andrew, I'm going to let you go, but thanks,
man.
Bye. All right. Have a good night. You can send us voicemails at 423-343-8884 to get on our regular show, which is going to be biweekly here very soon. So that's a whole nother thing. This was the part of the show where we were going to have a prostitute in the studio, and we were going to talk to her about how to keep from getting STDs, right? Because if a prostitute doesn't know, who would know? Turned out we couldn't get any because we weren't going to pay them anything. And so we don't have a prostitute to talk to tonight because we don't have any money to pay anything. So it just goes to show that every whore in New York City is smarter than we are.
Right.
because we're not getting paid anything either.
Right. Nope.
You know, this show costs a lot of money to do. Estimate, let's just go around the room. Let's estimate how much it's costing everybody. And it, look, I know this could sound like whining, okay? There may be a purpose behind this, but Todd?
Yeah, I don't know. I got off pretty cheap. I'm probably around $2,000.
Okay. Jefferson?
Well, with being out of work Thursday and Friday and lost wages, probably $4,500, $5,000.
Okay, so we're up to $6,500. John?
About the same as Jefferson.
Okay, so that's $10,500, and I'll say $4,000, just including lost time and all
that
stuff.
It's a $20,000 trip.
Yeah, yeah. So we're up to $1,400. What about you, Rob?
About $3,000.
$3,000. Yeah. Okay, so we're under contract, by the way.
Right.
Yay! Congratulations. Yes. We really appreciate it. The thing that I do like about it is that we're at least getting some attention. You know, when we first got offered the contract, it was, we want all your audio, you can't put it on your website, and we want the name, and we own the name.
Right.
You know, and by the way, we're going to pay you nothing. Oh, and then we want you to do a weekly show.
Yeah. And maybe you have to go to Nashville.
Yeah, and you can do it in Nashville, which is 4.5 hours away, so you can do a hotel room there, too.
Maybe they're trying to take that saying away. Thank you, sir. Oh. May I have another? It's not supposed to be.
And keep in mind, not only did they want to own the name, but they had control on who was going to be the talent.
Well, that is true too.
So
yeah, it was co-hosts of their choice.
And yeah, talent, yeah. Complete choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. Anyway,
this
is a different situation. The old place. I mean, look. I appreciate the airtime. We do this for fun. It's a great hobby. It's an expensive hobby, but we do it for our listeners, and we'll continue to do it for our listeners. I just don't know any other corporation or corporate entity that expects people to just do stuff for it for free. And I don't even want to make money, but if we could defray the costs of a few of the folks in here.
Sure.
You know. As opposed to, thank you, sir, may I have another? Yeah. Thank you, Sirius, may I have another?
Very good. All right. Well, anyway, you know what? We are going to we've got a bunch of calls, and after the break, if everybody wants to hang on, that's fine. If you want to hang up and call us back, that's okay. We're going to be on with Rich Voss after the break talking about kicking drugs old school. We've got another guy, Brent, that's going to talk to us about kicking drugs new school because he's a Suboxone user. And we've also got a pharmacist, Milkman Dan, who's going to call us up and raise hell with us because he feels that doctors are responsible for prescription drug abuse. So we will be back right after these messages.
So the company can make money that you're not getting.
Right. You're listening to Weird Medicine. We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve.
An unlicensed medical practitioner on the run in 8 states. It's Weird Medicine
with Dr. Steve.
On the virus, Sirius 197, XM 202.
Everything destroy.
Let it play out for a little bit.
Everything.
It's Weird Medicine. We're back. 866-WOW-1-WOW, 866-WOW-1-WOW, 969-1969. I'm Dr. Steve with my friends P.A. John, Double Vasectomy Todd, Jefferson the Shyster, Rob from Elizabethan. We've got Tacey over there doing research on the fly. Later on, we're going to have Heather Height, who's a comedian and also works at a porn shop, and she's going to bring in some boner pills, and we're going to evaluate them, see if they're worth anything. Also, Big A is going to be in a little bit, and we're going to have a PhD speech pathologist diagnose his major malfunction. So we're working on that too. The music coming in, I love these guys. It is death metal Moe's band, Siafu. It used to be an Unhallowed, and now they're Siafu, S-I-A-F-U. You can see them at myspace.com/SiafuRocks or ReverbNation.com/Siafu.
Yeah, those guys are rocking. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, I dig that.
Okay, I do too. All right. So who's surprised that we were supposed to have Rich Voss at 10 o'clock and he's not answering his phone? So I don't know. So we were going to talk to him about Suboxone, but what we're going to do is have the control room guys call the next guy on the list, if you guys would do that. And you know, drugs are a big part of our society, and there's legal ones, like nicotine and alcohol. And then there's illegal ones like pot, heroin, and cocaine. And then, you know, the legal ones that are used illegally, like OxyContin and Lortabs, or where I come from, Hydros.
Roxy's.
And Dilaudid, or where I come from, Dilauda. And, yeah, and then my Oxys. You got my Oxys?
And Roxy's.
Yeah, Oxys and Roxy's. And if they say they want their blues, then, you know, that means their
Park.
Valium.
What about Park 10s?
Yeah. That's always a good red flag for a doctor, too, is when somebody... I'm just going to tell you all this, okay? I probably shouldn't tell you. This is a trade secret. But when you come into the doctor and say, that other doctor put me on something that worked real well. It's called Perk something, Perka something. I can't remember the name, like you don't know the name, Percocet.
Right.
We don't buy that shit, okay? It just that's a huge red flag. So just letting you know. You know, so getting anyway, prescription drug abuse has gotten so bad it's now eclipsed street drugs by the number of people that are abusing them. And getting off drugs once you're on them is a daunting task. And withdrawal syndrome can be so bad that people will do most anything to avoid going through it. And all the while their lives are just swirling down the toilet. Tonight we're going to talk about drug abuse strategies and kicking it. And hopefully we can get Voss, because we want to talk to him about old school getting off drugs, because he did it. I have a lot of respect for him. They give him a lot of shit about talking about kicking drugs and just for, you know, being a general goof. But two things. He's a really, really funny guy on stage. And he did kick drugs. OK, I think if you did that and you were as heavy into it as he was and you and you're able to kick it. You deserve respect, and I think it's fine for him to keep saying that he did that. You know, the 23 years without a drug in my body, that whole thing. I think he should say it every day. You know, I think that's a big deal.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So it's very cool. Of course, he forgets that he even emailed me last night and gave me the number in his room and remembered that, and now he's not answering. So
what time zone is he in?
Well, he's in that's what I wondered about, if you know, he forgot what time zone he was in, but he's out in Vegas somewhere. You go see him if you're out in Vegas. I don't know where he's playing or anything.
Tell him he missed our phone call.
Yep. Yeah, and tell him, yeah, if you go to Voss's show tonight, remind him that he missed our phone call.
How come you didn't listen to Weird Medicine?
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Suboxone, though. You know, there's a serious lack of inpatient drug rehab centers in this country. And as narcotics are becoming more and more accepted as treatment for chronic pain, that puts doctors in a bad position. And methadone clinics have a bad reputation, but methadone works well. It's long-acting and it's cheap, but doctors can't legally prescribe methadone out of their offices for drug addiction. Now, you can prescribe it for pain, but you can't prescribe it to maintain someone's addiction. So they recently the FDA allowed doctors to write this stuff called Suboxone, and it's buprenorphine, which is a narcotic agonist and antagonist. So if you take it in the presence of narcotics, it will knock the narcotics off of the receptor and take their place on the receptor.
Wow.
So the narcotics won't work. So in that way, it's an antagonist. Okay.
And
then, but if you take it when there's no opioids around, okay, no narcotics in your system, it will act on the receptor as an agonist. In other words, it will act just like a narcotic. So these are great drugs to help people maintain an addiction or to get them off of drugs, because if they take drugs with it, they won't work. As a matter of fact, if you take this stuff while you're high, it will kick you into withdrawal.
Wow.
So, you know, this stuff is relatively inexpensive. It can be prescribed by any doctor who's taken a test on its use and applied for a special DEA license, and the test is really easy to pass. And what you want to do is start it when the patient is beginning to withdraw. So they come in and they're starting to get their Jones on and getting a little bit of the cold turkey, the sweats, a little nausea, and you give them the Suboxone right away, and all of a sudden they feel better, and then they fall in love with it for the most part. Now, on the phone we have Brent. I won't give his last name unless he wants to, and he is a current Suboxone user. Brent, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man. What kind of drugs were you doing, and were you doing prescription, or were you buying stuff off the street, or what was going on?
Well, it started just popping a couple of perks here and there. Then it evolved to sniffing a couple of 80 milligram Oxycontins. And then it ended up me up in North Philly copping bags.
Wow. Yeah.
So I went through the whole triage of it.
What was the last part? Coughing?
Copping bags. He was going up to North Philly and copping a bag of. What was your drug of choice when you would go up and get it off the street?
Dope.
Yeah. Heroin?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, heroin being a powerful narcotic that we can't use in medicine, although it has some properties that would make it worthwhile for us to have legally, but they're afraid of it being diverted, so they won't let us have that one. The FDA says that we have enough narcotics now that we don't need any more new ones.
I got to correct you on one thing, though.
Yeah.
Suboxone's not cheap by any means.
Well, okay. No, you're right. You're right. The way it's marketed and sold, it's actually very expensive. It is cheaper, though, than going to a methadone clinic every day to get your methadone if you live 90 miles away from the methadone clinic like most of the people in my area are. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So you can, you know, most of the time they'll give you 2 weeks to a month's supply. But anyway, so copping bags in North Philly, you were doing perks and all this other stuff, and what brought you to the point where you realized you needed to do something about it?
It just got way out of control, just like always running, trying to find money, like pawning stuff. It's just like I noticed my family was a little bit more distant with me, and like they kind of knew I had a problem, but I didn't admit. But the minute I just came clean, I was like, listen, I have a problem. Like, it felt like a weight just lifted off my shoulders, and they're just like, we're here to help you. We're going to help you.
Yeah.
So, I tell if anybody's struggling with that, you know, with talking to their family or talking to their friends or anything, just do it, because it's actually a relief.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's a big weight off your shoulders to just not have to be hiding that from people anymore.
Yeah, because, like, it started getting to the point where it's like, hey, didn't you just have $200 the other day? What happened to it?
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They know.
Yeah.
You're not hiding it from them.
Yeah, they do know.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I like about Suboxone and Subutex is that it can be prescribed by your family practitioner, so you don't have to go to a quote-unquote special place to get it. You know, you don't have to go to a methadone clinic. And people, there are people don't want to be seen coming out of a methadone clinic.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, it's from what I've noticed, it seems like there's more drug deals in the parking lot of a methadone clinic than anywhere.
Yeah.
You put all those groups of people together, something just bad's bound to happen.
Well, and you learn stuff from them, too. Yeah. So, learn from the masters. Tell us about the first time. So you went to the doctor, and he said, I'm going to put you on Suboxone, and how did that all work?
Well, like, I went to my family. Luckily, my family doctor was a Suboxone doctor, and like, you have to be careful with what doctor you pick, because usually the doctors that have giant billboards on highways, they're in it for the money. But I went to my family doctor, and luckily I told him, and he basically wrote me like a script for Percocets and was like, okay, by the time these Percocets wear out, you're going to be feeling like shit. So
he's
like, so I was in and out of his office the whole day because he had to get the dose right for me.
Yeah.
Like, he would start off with a little bit, come back in a half hour, check my heart, check my pulse, and then he would just work up, and then once he figured out the dose, you know, he just wrote the script.
Yeah, and then you took it, and did you immediately feel...
Probably within, like, 30 minutes I was feeling... Like, the one good thing about this is, like, you don't, like if you're just trying to kick it, like, you know, old school, I guess, like how Boss did... Yeah, like, you probably have to take 4 days off of work, but with this, you can actually function.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's cool. Now, how much is it costing you a month?
I've been off of it for, like, 4 years now.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so you were actually one of the, you were an early adopter then, because it hadn't been out all that long, so. I mean,
yeah, but I've been off of it, and, But I'll tell you one thing, though. I think I wrote this to you in an email. Like, whenever I went and got dental work, I realized that this is a lifetime problem. So because it stirred up some emotions.
Oh, absolutely. And there's trigger drugs, too. Like, I know a lot of the drug counselors will recommend that you don't take things like Benadryl because it can have kind of that dopey effect and can trigger your addiction back again.
Yeah.
All right, man. So your life is better?
Yeah, it's good. It's much better now. It's like I don't have to run around all day. You know, it's like I'm not jonesing anymore. It's like, and another thing, like I give advice to people that are trying to kick it, that you're going to lose practically all your friends.
Yeah.
Like from whenever I was using, I had 10, 20 friends I, you know, could just run into or hang with. I'm down to like probably like 4 good friends I can see now.
Wow. Wow.
So,
but those are your real friends, dude.
Yeah.
All right. And we're your friend, too. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's no problem.
Hey, thanks for coming on and talking about it. You know, this is just such a huge problem in this country with prescription drug abuse literally taking over from street drug abuse. And we just need to get a handle on it. It's good to know that there are solutions out there that don't involve just making yourself completely miserable.
I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on these pain centers? Like, I've talked to people that have gone to these pain things, and they just write ridiculous amounts of drugs for people, and it's like a cash-only operation.
Yeah, there are pain centers, and then there's pain centers. The ones where we are, these guys are very conscientious. You know, they put everybody on a contract. They drug test people frequently. The way you can tell one that may not be so legitimate is if they're giving everybody the same thing. I know I had a couple of DEA agents in my office once for an unrelated thing, and it was cool. It was cool. I'm fine. I asked them about it, and they said the big red flag for them is when they see a clinic where everyone that comes through the door gets 180 Percocets and 90 Dilaudids or something like that, and that's the red flag for
them.
And
they stack them.
Yeah, and they stack them. But really, all anyone needs is one long-acting medication and one short-acting medication. When you see 2, 3, and 4 short-acting medications being prescribed, that's a problem. But I would say the vast majority of anesthesiologists or pain specialists that are out there are legitimately trying to help their patients. And the problem is that we're told that if you don't treat patients' pain, that's unethical. And you can even be sued if you leave somebody in agony and you could have done something about it.
That's right.
So you're like basically like balancing on a double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you're caught between a rock and a hard place because you...
But the other problem is that so you're treating somebody for pain, but yet you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. There's a new law out that says... If you know that they're a user of drugs and they go out and do something with their drugs illegal and you don't report them, then you can be held
liable.
Yeah,
that's actually a Tennessee law. But
right.
There are laws like that all over the country now. So,
yeah, I think I saw something on like 60 Minutes where they went undercover and just started going to these pain clinics and everything. And it's just I was actually amazed. It's just like you got to pay cash for everything and then you got to pay cash for follow-ups. I'm just like... This doesn't sound like a legitimate place to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really do think, though, that the anesthesiologists that are out there generally want to make people alleviate their suffering, and they're not trying to, pull anything. But there are some clinics out there. I mean, if you give people, an inch, they will take a mile, and there are some people that are making money by just writing scripts out there. I mean, every community has had one of those doctors in their community at some point.
Yeah.
All right, Brent. Well, listen, I really appreciate it, man, and congratulations. We're proud of you.
Yeah, no problem, Steve.
Okay, thanks for being on Weird Medicine. That's Brent, and he kicked street drugs by using Suboxone. So, and we just got a flash, an update from Who's Your Daddy on, was that on Twitter, Todd?
Yep.
So he texted you on Twitter at Todd. It's 1017. It's Todd 1017. Follow him, and he's updating some photos from the show, and also he's taking questions and stuff like that. So Who's Your Daddy says that Rich Voss posted on Facebook 40 minutes ago. So there you go. He can post on Facebook, but he can't talk to us. Okay, and AliceGore48 also asked on Twitter, why can we treat addiction with addictive things? And that's a great question, a really great question.
What was the question again?
How is it that we can treat addiction with things that are addictive? And it's a great question. It's because we don't have anything else. What we do is we put people on something controlled. And the reason we like Suboxone is because if you take narcotics with it, then they don't work or it kicks you into withdrawal. So right. It's got a negative effect. And but it is addictive and habit forming. So what you do is you very slowly, gradually take people off of it.
Right.
And you do it in a controlled way or that they can get off the medication. So that's how. So, and people can abuse Suboxone just like their previous addiction. And did somebody tweet that to you too? It was a comment.
The same guy.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true. So AliceGar48. It's absolutely true. There now are becoming cases of people abusing Suboxone, and I get that
all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you defend people who get in trouble with this stuff,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes.
And without revealing anything about anybody in particular, I mean, you've seen cases where people are getting in trouble with Suboxone?
Oh, yeah, left and right. They're selling their pills now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are so stupid, they don't know that, I mean, they're still taking their Roxys and Oxys and abusing those, snorting those, doing whatever, and taking the Suboxone.
Yeah.
And they just have no clue that they're canceling each other out.
Yeah. Now, you can overdose from Suboxone. Right. There's definitely reports of coma and death associated with it. And when you misuse it with Valium and Xanax, which is another group of medications that people like to abuse, and if people inject it, that's bad.
Right.
Very
sure.
Bad. So anyway, all right. We've got Milkman Dan. Now, he's Milkman Dan, are you a pharmacy tech or a pharmacist?
I'm actually in between. I'm what's considered a level 2 pharmacist support tech.
Okay.
So
okay. Cool.
I get to follow the pharmacists around and then bug the shit out of them and watch what they do to make sure they're actually doing their job.
Okay.
Instead of just signing a piece of paper.
Yeah, and you've got some pretty strong views about where this prescription drug problem's coming from.
Well, I'll go right with Suboxone right off the bat. Suboxone, great. You know, it's these guys. I've seen them coming off drugs. Like I told you, I've worked in every setting you can do. You can go rehab, hospital, retail, etc. And I've been able to observe how these people react. Now,
okay.
Suboxone, the guys coming off this, it's pretty much like they're coming off right off heroin. They're going to be having a hard time in the bathroom, they're going to be crying and whining. But guess what? You're not going to die, so man up, asshole, you know?
Jesus.
It's like, it's not like it's alcohol withdrawal, alcohol withdrawal is extremely serious.
Well, it is.
Or stroke out.
Yep, alcohol withdrawal and benzodiazepine, Valium withdrawal, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Exactly. Opioid withdrawal is very uncomfortable, but not as physically dangerous as the other two are.
Well, so, one thing I never understood is why when they put people on Suboxone, why don't they put them on Naltrexone next? So, the receptors are completely blocked. They're not going to get any high off it whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's an underused drug, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And there used to be this stuff called Talwin NX. And it was pentazocine, which was a semi-narcotic, and then the naloxone was in with it. And if you took it, the naloxone went right through your GI tract; it wasn't absorbed. But if you injected it, you got the antidote along with the medicine, and you didn't get high from it. And so it was kind of a built-in fail-safe, and I'm not sure why they don't use that kind of thing more often.
The only thing that I would say is why they wouldn't use that is in the car ride on the way to the doctor, they get in a horrible accident, and they break a bunch of bones, and then they're stuck in the emergency room or they're in the operating room.
And you can't get them under.
And you can't – maybe I don't know about anesthesia, but not that you couldn't get them under, but once they come out of that, how are you going to treat their pain?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and you can't keep them intubated. For days.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Milkman Dan, look, I'm looking for some vociferous talk about how doctors are responsible for this whole thing. That's what you emailed me about originally, right?
And as of right now, I'm going to medicate myself. There, if you could hear that opening.
Well done. Yeah. Oh, we can't drink in this studio anymore.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, yes, I forgot you're at the new gay place.
Yeah.
excuse me. Sorry, this is my Tourette's. It's a symbiotic relationship. Pharmacist, doctor. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you remember that 1970s movie where it was the two-headed man, and it was like a guy with two heads, and they hated each other, and they're running around all over the place, and it was a bad, like, B-horror movie, something like that. But we can't stand doctors, and it doesn't really come out in so much hospitals or even rehab as it does in retail. These people come slumping in. They're obviously under the influence of something, and they've got a legitimate pass. They've got a legitimate script written out. You know what I mean? And we check them. We have ways of checking them. I've told you, we keep a bulletin board, people's handwriting. We double check it against that. Usually someone makes, I'm not sure if you're a private practice doctor or not. Usually someone will make like their own like little squiggly, tam mark or whatever.
Yeah.
And, behind that person will be someone waiting. They're rifling through, vitamin A and vitamin B1, like they're actually going to buy it. They're waiting for this guy to get his scripts filled. And it's always for oxys.
Yeah.
It's always for perks, for Vicodin. It's always for, wow, you get handlebars of, Xanax. That's amazing. I can't believe they still prescribe this.
Yeah.
Dilaudid.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe anyone prescribes Dilaudid anymore. I'm like, why not just go get heroin?
Dilaudid has some real benefits. You know, it's very potent
it's
lower doses.
Potent, all right.
And, most of my patients have cancer. And, if you give somebody...
Well,
oxycodone and OxyContin, they'll get them confused and they'll take their short-acting drug when they're supposed to be taking their long-acting drug. So we'll use Dilaudid to rotate people off of one medication and onto another. And the other thing is like if you've got somebody that's on increasing doses of morphine, for example, and they're just going through the roof, if you rotate them to another opioid like Dilaudid, you can actually maintain them on a lower dose, but that's why. So, I think we need to have choices. We don't need to just have one opioid because one size doesn't fit all. But one of the issues is just how do we prescribe this stuff appropriately to people who need it? We don't have a blood test that tells me that this person has pain and this one doesn't. That's the problem.
Yep.
And we're looking for pain medications that don't have narcotics in them. And we haven't found anything better than morphine yet.
And the reality is no one's pain is the same.
Yep.
Because I've seen patients working in orthopedics where they come in and you think, how did you walk on this broken ankle for 3 days without going to the emergency room?
Yep.
And then at the same time, this hurts so bad, you have to do x-rays, watch it, look at it,
yep,
get a study to show that there's nothing really going on there.
Yep. All right, Milkman Dan, I appreciate you, man.
That is fine and well, but when I see someone 23 years old walk through the door of where I work at my retail place. I can't say the name, so we'll just call it WDT. It's another three-letter name, word. We'll go with WDT.
Okay. WTF.
When they're 23 years old, and they're humping up to the counter, and I'm like, Dilaudid, really? And I'm like, I'm sitting there laughing because, there's a guy behind them again, rifling through. Oh, really? I'm like, you're really looking through female, products, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, come on, dude. And so I'm like, that's when I'll go to the head pharmacist. I'm like, this is my choice. I'm like, at the very beginning, I gave more of a shit. I just stopped because I would end up yelling. I'd be like, where's the pain at? Really?
still, you know, the doctor. I'm like, you know, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Here, let me give it to the doctor.
Yeah.
Let him deal with this shit instead of his lazy ass, whatever he's on.
No,
you know, he can sit there and snore through whatever.
It's absolutely frustrating, and there's obviously a problem out there because these prescription drugs are hitting the streets because somebody wrote a prescription for them most of the time. It's not that
they're... Suboxone is sold on the street all the time.
Yeah.
It's sold on the street.
Sure.
Constant. I mean, that's a big one now.
Yeah, doctors love to write it because they feel like they're doing a good thing, you know? All right, man. Listen, we got to move on, but I really appreciate your input.
Absolutely, man.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you. All right, we've got, let's talk to Rob in New York. Hey, Rob, you're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. What you got?
I fractured my wrist at work.
Okay.
Not a, you know, I'm a mechanic.
Yep.
Fracture my wrist. They made me fill out all this paperwork. Like a little small fracture.
Okay.
Then they put me on all these medications and everything like that for a little thing that I wouldn't be bothered with.
Yeah. Okay, so what'd they put you on?
Oxycontin.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't be bothered with it. I wouldn't want that. But the doctor automatically said Oxycontin.
Wow.
Are you sure it was Oxycontin or was it
Could it have been oxycodone?
Or was it oxycodone? Because Percocet is oxycodone.
Well, hydrocodone. No, I think it was hydrocodone.
That's hydrocodone.
Okay.
That's Lortab.
Now
okay.
That, for acute pain, Lortab's not the worst thing.
Right.
I wasn't in any pain at all.
Okay.
They put me on that.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Yeah.
Was it a company doctor?
Yes, company doctor.
Right, that's right, because they're trying to keep themselves out of workers' comp claim later.
Exactly. Okay. Yep, yeah. That's my point.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. All right, man, I know it's... it's inappropriate.
I didn't take
and
it.
We have to look. Doctors who are out there listening to this, they 99% of them know this. We need to prescribe appropriate medications for appropriate conditions to appropriate people.
Right, but if what I'm saying is, that a patient says he's not in any pain, do they still have to prescribe that to them?
Well, here's the thing: is
no.
But when you, I would say no. Yeah, but when you go home, they also don't want a phone call in the middle of the night. Saying, "Hey, this guy
I'm dying.
Yeah,
I'm in so much pain."
And the company doctor doesn't have to report to the company that he didn't have any pain, but now he's at work a week later saying that the doctor didn't do anything for him.
Yeah. Right, but that's an a situation that's it's not based on a medical need.
Right.
So I guess the good thing is
everyone's covering their butt because they don't want to get their they don't want to get fired.
And us lawyers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, Rob. I appreciate it, man.
All right, bro.
Okay. Let's talk to Ray in Montana. Ray, are you there?
Yeah. My phone's probably going to cut out. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Hey, I broke my back about 2001.
Yep.
And, I had two surgeries, a laminectomy, a fusion, and everything. And all these pain medicines, I mean, they really didn't do anything for the pain. It just made me drowsy, and I want to know, is there a gene that some people have?
Boy, that is a great question, and everyone is looking into this. Is there a genetic component? We know that there is some genetic component to alcoholism because you have an increased risk of being an alcoholic if you have alcoholic parents. Now, is that genetic or is it upbringing? When they do twin studies and those kinds of things, there seems to be a little bit of both. Some is upbringing and some is genetic. We haven't identified the specific addiction gene. There is an interesting thing out there, and I'll just throw this out, just a scientific thing, that there is a receptor called the delta opioid receptor. It won't be a quiz afterwards, so you can forget about it. But just believe me, there's this receptor out there. And only certain medications hit it, but there is some chemical in the human body that's being produced that's hitting this receptor. And it turns out that people who make fewer receptors than normal in their body are more prone to be alcoholic. So there are definitely chemical and genetic factors involved. So it's a really interesting topic, and people are still looking into it. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll take a couple of more questions, and then we're going to take a break. You're listening to Weird Medicine, 866-WOW-1-WOW, 866-969-1969. You can email us, or well, you can get a hold of Double Vasectomy Todd, who is monitoring Twitter, at Todd1017, that's T-O-D-D-1017. And or you can go to our website, drsteve.com, if you just want to click around and do some stuff. Let's see here. You wanted us to get line
number
six. Which one is that?
Number six.
Well, mine aren't numbered, so. Oh, yeah, they are, too. Okay. Some guy.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Steve?
Hey, good man. How are you?
I'm okay. Okay, my deal was heroin. Used to be a body piercer. Had access to all the equipment. It was easy. First of all, I started smoking it. And then I started shooting it for a short while and knew that there was a big problem. Went on liquid methadone, and, of course, you got to be careful because that has its own ritual, you know, just like the heroin. Then I went on to methadone pills, which was, you know, a little bit better, you know, psychologically. I also tried stuff like hypnosis, and I also, ironically, I had a friend who taught me his method. He used to teach local kind of council workers back in London. There's 5 points of acupuncture on the ear. I think it was developed in the Bronx or something to help withdrawals for drug addiction. So embarrassingly, I went back to the same clinic 6 months later with the habit to try to see if it worked out.
Yeah.
I think there was a little bit of relief for the acupuncture, but. And then I had some, like, Rohypnol because it was legal in Britain, you know, to just take the edge off.
Sure.
But I think most importantly, if you get off it, you have to exercise a lot because from what I'm told, it takes, like, 6 months, maybe a year to get your endorphin levels back to, the same normal levels. And the most important thing I say to anyone is you got to drop all your drug buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And you got to drop all those triggers that brought – remind you of the problem and bring you back to it, and that's almost always going to be your friends.
Sure.
You know, are definitely included in that.
Thank you very much.
All right, man.
I love the show.
Okay, well, we love you too. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to clear the phone lines. If you couldn't get on earlier, feel free to give us a call back. We're going to talk to Big A and have his speech pathology dealt with. We're also going to have Heather Hite in during the next segment. And then after that, we're going to have Foundry Music Jeff in, who is our correspondent with regard to healthcare reform. We need to talk about that. And then at the tail end of the show, we're going to do a whole crap load of phone calls. So all the Dick Cheese questions, and we had one that we lost that I hate that we lost. Somebody
squirting.
Someone squirted in his eye, and he got a blister in his eye. Please call back if you're still
listening.
I got
to hear that story.
All right. You're listening to Weird Medicine. We'll be right back after these words.
Put down that knife. You're just going to make things worse.
I hate my penis.
It's Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the virus, Sirius 197, XM 202.
Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197, 866-WOW-1-WOW, 866-969-1969. That music is Case of the Mondays, which is, you can look at them at caseofthemondays.net. And great, I love these guys. Remind me of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the guys that works or is in that band actually is the guy that got Big A, his BiPAP machine, and he got it for him for free and worked hard as hell to get that machine. And we really appreciate John. He's a good guy, and he's really helped out, and it saved us a bunch of money. The Big A and Pat fund would have been depleted long ago if it wasn't for him. So we're going to talk to him, but guess who we have on the line?
Who?
Rich Voss.
Hey,
Voss, what the fuck, dude?
I'm sorry. You didn't get my email, did you?
No. Yeah, we were here actually doing a show, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, no, I sent you one earlier today. I mean, I had to postpone it. Did like what I was supposed to be on earlier, I think.
Yeah,
no,
you
I
were supposed.
Think I know.
You were supposed to be on 10 o'clock our time, 7 your
oh.
time.
Yeah, we're okay. in a break right now. So.
So here, are you on a break now?
Yeah.
Oh, you are on a break?
No.
No. Who said we're on a break?
That's PA John. He's an asshole too.
Oh, okay. Do they know who they're talking to? You don't talk to me that way. You don't talk to Rich Foster when he's in Vegas.
That's
that
right.
Way.
That's right. How's it going out there?
Great. I just, you know, we're making a documentary, Bonnie and I.
Okay.
So I just had a real big interview. I interviewed somebody really big.
Okay.
And I couldn't pass this up. So
that's
I was
okay.
like, do I do the fucking dumb medicine show?
Yeah,
or do
yeah.
I interview her?
Okay. I don't even blame you.
So, but listen, hey, it's happening now. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going, man. Listen, we've already moved on, but I didn't want to, you know, not talk to you tonight. You kicked drugs the old school way, right?
No, well, no, I didn't do it the old school way. I mean, I put myself in rehab for 5 days detox,
yeah,
28-day rehab, which I lied to get in there, and I had to get in. I don't know what why I had a lie. It had to do with something with whatever. I lied, and they found out, and they go, we don't care as long as you're here.
Yeah.
And I was in there for 28 days. One thing they said, you can't tell a joke or be funny. I mean, I was only doing comedy for like 3 years at the time.
Yeah.
They said, you can't be funny because that's one of your masks that you cover your pain with. And they suggested, after I get out of rehab for a year, don't go back into clubs and the comedy. The day I got out of rehab, I did comedy that night at a club, a one-nighter. And one of the reasons was I could do it. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
One of the reasons was I could do it. It's because I completely surrendered.
Yeah.
I knew I lost, drugs won, and I wanted truly, truly to stay clean more than I wanted to get high, and I still do.
Yeah.
So once that desire leaves you, then you're doing something wrong. If you took the path I took, you know, 12-step program or whatever.
Yeah.
And if the desire does come back to get high or an urge, it passes as long as you don't act on it.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you anything you don't know, but as long as you don't act on it.
Cool. Well, you know, I've always said, and dude, listen, I want you to get your plugs in and stuff, but we really have got to move on. I'm sorry that we missed you earlier, but I'm very, people give you shit all the time about talking about how you kick drugs, and I just want to say personally that I think you should be able to talk about it every day. If that's something that you did that was that remarkable when it came to your lifestyle, I think that you need to be able to speak about it. I'm very proud of you myself.
Thank
and
you.
Absolutely.
I am truly sorry I couldn't do it.
No, it's okay, man.
Once you read your email, you'll see why.
Okay. No, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, I wouldn't do a dumb show, you know,
no,
just a guy that
listen,
you just met once at
Nancy,
Opie's wedding. It's
wait,
okay.
Hold on, Nancy. Go to my computer and read what that says. I wrote this. This is on a piece of paper on my computer. What's it say? Saturday radio interview, 7 p.m. It was,
okay.
I was looking forward to this, and I got a call this afternoon when I was playing golf out here.
Well, it's okay. It's okay. Get your plugs out.
I don't want to plug anything. Here's my plug. Here's my plug.
All right. Let's move on.
I feel bad for him now.
Well, I was going to do it earlier, and then I was like, shit, I can't just, you know, I don't have Opie's.
I went from offended. I went from offended to now I feel sorry for him. I really do.
You do?
Yeah.
And you had a $100 bet.
I know you
bet that I was going to let him talk about drug addiction.
Yeah, you said 10 seconds.
All right. Well, so, okay. So you owe him $50 instead of $100 that you
No,
bet.
You owe me $100.
No. I was agreeing with
no,
you.
No. Dr.
Does.
Steve. Owes me $100.
Oh,
yeah.
Ah, shit, I didn't bet. Anyway. All right. Hey, Andrew. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. Not bad.
Okay, in the control room, we need to be getting Dr. G on the phone, if you guys haven't done that already. Okay? She's down there under Big A, gets his stammer diagnosed. Okay. Anyway. So tonight, we're going to talk about your stuttering problem.
Mm-hmm.
But first off, let me just say this. I don't think there's anything you don't have to change anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. Right. You are who you are, and we spent all day with you yesterday, and
had a blast.
Yeah, we had a blast. You are my friend, and so I don't want you to think that by us doing this that we're thinking that there's something that has to necessarily be fixed. But I know it's something that has impacted your life, and I'm sure I'll. Yeah. I guess was it Opie or Ron that was talking about, the kids in school, because kids are always so nice to people who are different.
I think it was Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Greg Hughes fund. That's not just Opie, by the way. We had a link on our website, and we had about 200 people donate from our listening audience to get some money for Pat.
And I really appreciate, and I know Pat, I use a speak for Pat, but I know Pat also appreciates, everybody who donated.
Yeah, and, we got some donations from anywhere from a dollar. We had some people donated a dollar. We had some people donate $5. We had one person in particular donated $1,000, and it's allowed you guys to get back into the healthcare system. We originally did this just to illustrate that it can be done with a little bit of money,
right?
But also that you and Pat both have jobs, and you can't afford healthcare, and you are both. Having problems, and neither one of you were going and just hoping every day, something catastrophic wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not acceptable in this society, in my opinion. So so I'll quit soapboxing. But so you got the BiPAP machine, and
yes.
And how's that going?
It's going all right. I had a couple of setbacks. Because my nose, it's a little stuffed up.
Okay.
And I talked to John Gray and also Hard Rock Johnny. And also, by using a sinus rinse.
Okay. Is that helping?
Well, actually, I haven't tried that. I just bought it, and I'm a little afraid, to shoot water up of my nostrils,
Yeah.
I saw the videos and how it's done. It's a little, a little nerve wracking.
I'm a big fan of the neti pot.
I bought I called the Neil Med. I mean, it's like the neti pot. You kind of squeeze.
Yeah.
I also saw a video of neti pot. Pour the water, in your nose, it comes out the other.
Right.
Natural, but
yeah, it's like a little teapot, right. And you put saline solution in it, and you stick it in one nose, one nostril, and turn your head to the side, and it's supposed to pour out the other nostril. And Tacy uses one, and it's really quite humorous to watch. And I've got several. If you go to the ronfez.net forum, the Weird Medicine forum on ronfez.net, there are a couple of threads about neti pots where we just posted pictures of people looking ridiculous using one of these things. So anyway, we've been stalling all this time talking about your BiPAP because we were waiting for the control room to get Christine on the phone. I don't know if you want to use your full name, Christine, but welcome to Weird Medicine.
Well, thank you.
Now, Christine is, just go ahead and state your qualifications.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm a doctoral student at the University of Nevada School of Medicine in Reno, Nevada.
Okay, and you've been a speech therapist for a long time, right?
Yes, I have a master's degree in speech pathology since 1992.
Okay, and you've been listening to, I sent you some samples of Big A's speech.
Right.
And you've been hearing him talk tonight. And I just wonder what your opinions are regarding his speech, and is there anything that can be done about it? And first off, what's the diagnosis, and then just sort of walk us through it.
Well, originally, when I first heard Big A talk, I, you know, originally first wanted to go right to, he's just got a severe stuttering problem. But then as I continued to listen, certain things kind of stuck out in my mind. One is that his pitch is a little off, a little out of the modal register for his, for his age, gender. And so then I kind of started digging a little bit, like, you know, this just really doesn't sound normal. Basically, I guess the bottom line is that I think that he may have a spasmodic dysphonia.
Wow.
And
can you explain what that is?
Sure. It is a neurological disorder. Typically, they've just recently, in the last few years anyway, changed that from being a psychogenic disorder to a neurological disorder.
Uh-huh.
And they are looking at that as in terms of chromosomes. They're finding that on gene chromosome number 9.
Wow.
And typically found if he's had if he had any type of bad cold, respiratory infection, could increase that.
So it would be acquired
like
then?
This has been a problem since he was a little person.
Yes, it has been since I was born. Yes.
Since you were born.
Yes.
And this is sometimes a problem with hereditary disorder. Does anybody else in your family have the same type of voice that you do?
No, they don't. No.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. And
no.
Does it get worse with stress?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Okay.
He was hanging with us last night, but it was not nearly as bad. And
okay,
you also said when you sing, you don't stammer either, right?
What's that?
I think he told us earlier that when he sings, it doesn't happen as often.
Right, and it'd be interesting, Big A.
Yeah.
Did you have a lot of speech therapy as a little person? Elementary school.
I went to the hospital when I was growing up, and I think I had occupational therapy.
Okay.
And also in junior high school, I saw a speech therapist of a couple of years in junior high school, but then after that I had nothing else.
Okay. And do you find that that your blocks are coming more from your lips or from your throat?
My throat. And I also have trouble saying ST words.
Right. I kind of noticed that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's a speech pathologist.
There's
laughing.
About 50,000 people probably in North America that are diagnosed with spasmodic dysphonia, and probably more than that are just misdiagnosed as severe stutterers. And I'm not saying that you don't have a stuttering problem. I'm just saying that this may be a diagnosis.
Okay.
That you can, you know.
What can he do about it? That's the question. Is there, can it be fixed or alleviated in any way? And who should he see for that?
Basically, there are no known real cures for spasmodic dysphonia.
Okay.
Treatments? But you can reduce some symptoms with voice therapy. They have been using Botox, and basically what I'm thinking is, just from listening to him, is that he has an adductor spasmodic dysphonia rather than an abductor abductor spasmodic dysphonia.
Okay, I thought you said he has a bad doctor.
Well, he might have one of those too, I don't know.
That would be Dr. Steve.
Yeah, that would be me.
Dr. Adductor spasmodic dystonia, and what some of the, you know, some of the symptoms of that are words that are cut off or difficult to start.
Yeah.
Speech sounds that are choppy and that can sound like stuttering.
Okay.
And that your voice sounds are strained or strangled, and his voice doesn't necessarily sound strained or strangled as much as it just doesn't seem like that his vocal folds are necessarily, that they sound like they're just fluttering away in all different
directions at once.
All different directions, yeah.
So what kind of doctor would he see? We're gonna need to move on here, but what kind of doctor would he need to see, or what kind of speech pathologist would he need to see?
Definitely needs to go to a university setting that specializes in voice disorders and also fluency disorders. A neurologist that specializes in movement disorders would also be a good start.
Okay.
They may need to go to the neurologist first and then go to the speech pathologist, or they, but the speech pathology department at any, you know, major university that has a good voice department will definitely be able to push him in the right direction and figure out what to do there.
And they might be more likely to do it gratis than some other place because he has no insurance. That's one
of
the problems.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, is that what they're probably end up wanting to do is put an endoscope down, you know, through his nose and do a stroboscopy to look at his vocal fold.
Okay.
His vocal folds to see how they're, what they look like in motion.
Okay.
And they can definitely, at that point, tell him whether or not spasmodic dystonia is, you know, what he actually has, or if it's something else. And if it's not, then he can go for, definitely like a fluency.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's worth looking into.
Absolutely.
You know,
definitely.
Have you got anything to plug, Christine? You got a website or anything like that you want to plug, or you want to just stay anonymous as Christine the speech pathologist? It's up to you.
I'll just stay Christine the speech pathologist.
Fair enough. I really appreciate your time. And I'm actually kind of getting excited about this because I think, you know, Andrew lives in New York City. There's dozens of medical school university centers here.
I'll
see what we can
do. I think the Presbyterian hospital there, I think, has a big voice. Department, and also
he's Jewish, though.
Robert Bastian. Yeah. What's that?
Nothing. I was just being stupid.
Sorry.
All right.
And I think Dr. Bastian may be out of New York.
Okay, we'll look him up.
Yep, he's definitely a good pick there.
Hey, thank you very much, and have a great evening.
All right, you have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Okay. That was Christine. She ruled. 866-WOW-1-WOW, 969-1969. You're listening to Weird Medicine. We've got Big A in the studio. So this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to,
right?
When I get home, I'll start making some phone calls and see what we can do at some of these local places and see if we can get something done, you know. And we'll plug them, we'll do whatever, we can even pay them a little bit.
Right.
So, you know, we've still got some money in the fund, so we'll see where we go. All right, man.
Yeah, I mean, as always, I appreciate everything you have done, everything you will do.
Well,
you know,
you're a good friend. And since the 18 months ago when I first met you and stuck a finger up your ass to feel your prostate gland at Opie's behest.
He did that to you, too? That's how he said he only met me.
That's why he does... Everybody, huh?
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate it, man. We're going to take a break. Then we're going to have Heather Height in to talk about porn shop tasty treats. And then we're going to have Foundry Music Jeff in to talk about healthcare reform. And then we're going to take a bunch of phone calls. We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve,
an unlicensed medical practitioner on the run in 8 states. It's Weird Medicine
with Dr. Steve
on the virus, Sirius 197, XM 202.
Yes, it's Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197. very appropriate rejoinder since we so don't raise hell. Actually, two of our members do raise hell. You guys were out awful late last night.
A little bit late.
You doing okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Great.
So do you? We have in the studio with us Heather Height from HateSpeechRadio.com, and she's going to talk about some stuff that might have helped you guys out last night, given that I think you were out, I don't know, whatever it was that you were doing.
Catting around a little bit. Right.
Well, you guys act awfully grown up on this show, but you're all just a bunch of children.
Of course.
Just like Uncle
Anthony. Yeah, we're boys.
They're all in here banging their heads to the music. I felt like really uncomfortable for a second.
Did
like
you really?
I'm really not like I don't really think I ever look very cool doing any kind of dance anything. So banging my head just now, I could have just faked it. Like you know, girls just right.
Well,
don't really not a head banging kind of thing.
How can you not bang your head to head PE? I think that is a guy thing. That's a
that's
a Y chromosome thing.
I'd knock my head off the microphone and fall out of the chair and be all embarrassed.
Hey, how are things at Hate Speech Radio going?
Fantastic.
You guys have a real thing going on there.
Yes, we do. We've been recognized by the Frontier 50 and Talker Magazine this past year, along with the... Like Hannity is on the list. It's in alphabetical order, you know, so it looks like we're
listed you're right there.
Before Hannity, but it's actually just because alphabetically.
That's very cool. That's very cool. And people, tell, we'll let you get your plug in early here. When can people listen?
We're on Sunday nights on bpsradio.com. You can find it through hatespeechradio.com. We start at 6 and we run till 10.
Well, and then you can listen to it. It's archived too, right?
Yes, you can find us on iTunes. You can subscribe to Hate Speech Radio on iTunes, and we also, if you come and listen live, we've got the chat room going, and you know you can interact with us and you know beat us up like everybody else does.
Very cool.
We have Anthony thinks he has a vicious freaking chat room. It's nothing compared to the douchebags in our chat room.
Yeah, anonymity is a very powerful thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Very cool. Well, listen, one of the other things that you do besides being a professional comedian, do you like comedian or comic?
Care.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Funny person. Aspiring funniness.
But you also work in what do you call it?
I call it a porn shop, but they like to call it an adult store.
Okay.
I work at Expressions on Long Island.
Okay. All right. And one of the things that we talked about was you guys have some herbal remedies.
Yes.
For
yes, we have quite an array of herbal remedies
for penis problems.
Yeah,
mostly.
Among other things. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it would be fun to go through some of the ingredients of one of these and see if there's anything in here. It used to be that the only thing that we had before Viagra and those things came out was a medication that we could prescribe that we thought did any good was a medication called yohimbine. Uh-huh. And it actually comes from a plant in South America that people use to, you know, in rituals and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things was that the people that were using it in these rituals got these raging hard-ons. And so people started looking at it to see if maybe it would work. And it's interesting that almost all of the medications that you sent me the ingredients on, and you typed up this amazing list of things, almost all of them actually have yohimbine in them. So I had some patients before the age of Viagra that really had great results with yohimbine. It can have some side effects, though.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at this one called Extends. Do you have the bottle with you? That's okay. It has this thing called pheromone blend in it.
Yeah.
And it's micronized DHEA. Now, that's a steroid that is, if it's not already illegal, it's soon to be illegal. And it takes two steps to metabolize it into testosterone. And so people figure that that's, you know, obviously going to be a good thing. The more testosterone you have, the better your erections are going to be.
We also carry a female extension, which I didn't bring. But the side effects are horrifying. Like
really?
Hair loss and, you know, hormone changes is a side effect. But it seems obvious that that would come to pass when you're taking... Hormones.
Yeah. Well, you know, even the soy products and stuff have estrogens, you know, phytoestrogens in them that can have estrogenic effects. And, you know, I've never seen any studies that showed that men get feminized by taking soy, but it certainly makes sense that if a lot of the estrogen products are actually soy and yam extracts, yeah. that
well,
it
now
do that.
The soy, it's just molecularly similar. Like your body recognizes it as estrogen,
that's
right? So
that's
it fills
right.
the estrogen receptors,
which is all it needs to
so
do.
Now, in that case, would your own estrogen increase or decrease production because it thinks it has enough?
Yeah,
is that estrogen better for your system than the stuff that you produce that makes you insane, as in me?
That's a great question. I think that the feedback loop for estrogen isn't as powerful as it is for testosterone. So mm-hmm. if you take testosterone, your the testosterone that you make will drop down to zero. There is a feedback loop there, but you know you can overwhelm anything by taking too much.
Yeah.
So you know, and that's just the problem I have with these things, is that they take 20 medications or 20 herbal things that might do something, and then they just toss them all together and go,
yeah.
here you go. And it's not regulated in the sense that there's no dosage regulation that they can say this works and this is too much, mm-hmm. and it's not regulated by the FDA either because they don't make medical claims, even though they do.
Yeah, the problem I have with the Extends is that it claims that it will actually make penises larger.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's incredibly possible.
Well, let's talk about it. If you get a bigger erection, you're going to feel like your penis is bigger. Horny goat weed is in it. It increases nitric oxide, and Viagra does that.
Mm-hmm.
Velvet deer antler, that's soft and velvety and hard at the same time, so that's why they throw that in.
Yeah.
We used to have these guys where we live, Tacy remembers them, and double vasectomy Todd does, that had a health food store, and they would tell people that carrots are good for the eyes because when you cut a carrot in half, it looks like the cross section looks like an eye. So that's why it's good for your eyes. And the kidney beans were good for your kidneys,
so
and walnuts were good for your brain.
The deer antler is just like some kind of medicine man.
Yeah,
you know, like
it's a
like
totem
the,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and
rhino horn.
And there's a Muiria puama extract, which is a stimulant that's also used by indigenous peoples in South America in rituals and stuff. Now, licorice extract is an expectorant. It actually has hormonal activity. It lowers testosterone, though, so I don't know why that would be in there. So
I don't know either.
So anyway, I think these things
but
are...
But you're the doctor, so I guess that's apropos.
I think they're malarkey. And then they put hops in there because, you know, hops are in beer, and beer makes you drunk, and getting drunk...
Do you really think that's the reason they put the hops in there?
I don't know. I don't know why else they would be in there.
The one that's... this is our best seller. It's Stiff Nights.
Okay.
This is the one that they call the Herbal Viagra
okay.
in our store. Yeah. And the thing that's interesting to me is I've had several customers who had their prostates removed, that take that and come back for more and report that they're almost normal again.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, it's got cayenne pepper in it, and mm-hmm. that's spicy, so that must be good. It's got cinnamon in it.
So that must be good. All right, Doc.
You know, wow, it's just, you know, barley grass, wheat grass. The placebo effect is a very powerful thing, and I can't say that this doesn't work.
Yeah.
It
well,
just has not
your,
been studied.
Your gentleman here in the studio volunteered to take
yeah.
one
and
each.
That one over here. I'll
right.
take that one.
Okay, there you go. Right. Give it a try. We'll report it on our Twitter.
Yeah, it only
Absolutely.
It should only take 20 minutes to...
Oh, is that right? Oh, go ahead and take it
something,
now.
So.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I
need some water.
I mean, it's over-the-counter herbal. I'm not prescribing it. Heather is, so...
Yes. The porn shop girl is prescribing...
It would be the first.
I don't know how we're going
to
check and see if you're more easily aroused. I guess, you know.
It's a suppository.
Well, then I'm definitely already more easily aroused.
Now, Eric wanted us to go to line eight. Is that right, Eric?
So okay. Double Vaz is just
okay.
taken.
Okay.
What was that again? What was the name of it?
Stiff Nights.
Did you really
Stiff
take
Nights.
Both of those?
He did.
Yeah.
You were supposed to take one.
Oh, boy. All right.
It says take only one on the package.
Oh, my God.
It will really be weird
you
medicine.
We will see you all night
bag.
Tonight. Reading instructions is important.
He's greedy, isn't he?
Yep.
Oh, well, let's just keep an eye. This should be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'll
we're going out with him tonight, honey.
Have you got any gigs coming up?
I do, actually. I'm going to be at the World Room on Thursday at the Broadway Comedy Club. It's
You're doing a bunch of these. I see this on your Twitter all the
time. Yeah, Aaron Haber runs the room, and he's a really great guy, and he's very supportive. It's I'm just starting out. I'll be doing comedy for 3 years in January, and so I'm just like a glorified open micer, you know, and he's very supportive of the up-and-coming comics.
That's really cool.
So if anybody wants tickets for that, it's 646-329-6502, and it's the World Room or the WorldNewYork.com. And I'm going to be at the Laugh Lounge, 151 Essex Street. The reservation line for that is 212-614-2500. I'll be there on December 12th, and that shows at 6:30.
Okay, cool. Well, hang around with us for a little bit. We're going to take some calls, and then you've got some other you have something in front of you we absolutely have got to talk about. And Todd, would probably be good for you to get a picture of it and put it up on Twitter after we talk about it, if you don't mind doing that. Actually, maybe not. We'll talk about it.
I was reading directions, so I don't know what I'm supposed to take a picture of and put up on Twitter,
okay,
so that's why I haven't asked.
Yeah.
You were supposed to read those directions before you pop the pills in your mouth.
Yeah.
And
that's actually a good life lesson for everyone, is read the directions.
Ask your pharmacist or your doctor before,
before
popping two freaking sex pills on a radio show.
Take as directed.
You guys are so subdued and quiet and behaved that I'm like saying frickin' instead of fuck. Like, I'm allowed to say fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could say whatever I want here.
That's right.
That's
absolutely.
And Todd will now be a double boner Todd instead of double vasectomy Todd.
Yeah, Trucker's on Twitter. She wants to know if the cinnamon's going to make my jizz taste better.
Oh, that's a great question.
Well, we've actually got some...
Yeah, the tasty jizz stuff. Anything that's...
Take one of those, too.
Yeah, take one of these.
Well, here in 20 minutes, you can find out and test yourself.
No, thanks. Pass. I've had enough bad taste in my mouth this weekend.
Wow, I don't even want to know what that's about. She has yummy cummy here, and it has pineapple extract, parsley, cranberry concentrate, celery seed, cinnamon extract, and apple extract. And I know the Sweet Release also had...
We did Sweet Release for a while. It's like apple and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes sense that if your urine will smell from eating asparagus, that there could be some substances that would make other body fluids have different tastes. I mean, obviously, Todd figured that out on Opie and Anthony's show. He knows that urine tastes different when it's full of sugar, diabetic sugar. So did you happen to catch that? You missed?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's Craig from Cleveland that's gagging. Craig, you're on Weird Medicine.
Oh, wow, wait. That's cool. I didn't expect to get on, actually. That's very cool.
Okay. Well, cool, man. We're glad. We'll see. You got a question?
Yeah, I did. You know what? I've had I had epididymitis.
Okay.
3 times. And once is enough, let me tell you.
Yep.
And why would I have it 3 times? I have a normal, ordinary, monogamous sex life.
Yep.
And it just strikes me as odd I would have it 3 times.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and turn your radio up, and we'll answer that, okay? The epididymitis is swelling and inflammation of a structure at the back, upper back part of the testicle, and it's where all the tubes come together to make the vas deferens that goes into the body. And it's a real fragile place because the nut is just basically hanging by the vas and the epididymis, and that's where it joins. So vigorous sex can cause it. You know, once you've had it once, you can get it again and again because you're actually prone to having it. Sometimes the inflammation doesn't go away. Other times it's just the whatever practice that you're doing that's causing it, you don't stop doing. So vigorous sex where you're slapping your nuts against that hard, you know, taint, you can get it from lifting. and people who work out a lot will sometimes get epididymitis.
Is there like a sex harness you can wear or something to hold it in place?
Well, actually, one of the treatments is just scrotal elevation, to lift the scrotum with a jockstrap.
You hire an Asian woman to walk around behind you holding up your testicles.
You could do that. It would be a little awkward, but it could, you know, at work, but it might work.
She's my testicle holder.
If if you're wearing boxers, you want to wear jockeys. If you're wearing jockeys, you want to wear a jockstrap. And then sitting in the bathtub and with hot water and letting your nuts float and getting them out of the pull of gravity helps a lot too. But that's why a lot of people that have it over and over again, it's really the same episode. It's just waxing and waning. It's called chronic epididymitis then. Let's see here. This is a good one. Robbie in Pennsylvania, you're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I guess I'll start from the beginning. A couple, maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we're all hanging out, me and my buddies, drinking, and my one friend, he was real drunk, and his pants were kind of falling down, so one of my other friends walked up and pantsed him. And here we all noticed that his one ball was like the size of a potato. And he won't tell us how it happened. You know, he doesn't want to talk about it. He won't go see a doctor. We all said, we'll go to the doctor with you, you know, whatever you need, because it's literally the size of a potato. It is huge.
Okay.
So I was just wondering if you have any idea what it could be or...
Well, it would be hard to diagnose it just based on that, but there are things that can cause a giant nut, and one of them is a fluid-filled sac called a hydrocele. And so these things can sometimes get huge. And one way that he can tell whether that's what it is or not is to take a pen light, you know, an LED pen light, and put it behind the nut where it's swollen. And if it lights up, what was it that you said, John?
Looks like the end of E.T.'s finger.
Right. If it looks like the end of E.T.'s finger and lights up, then you know that it's clear fluid in there. And that pretty much makes the diagnosis of hydrocele. That's got to be causing him some discomfort. A urologist is the place to go for that, and I definitely would encourage him to go. You could email me at drsteve202@gmail.com, give him my email address, and I'd be happy to, discuss it with him. I can't.
Do you have a hernia?
Well,
no.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he won't tell us how it happened or anything, and we had pictures. And I tried to get the pictures, but he erased them. And I told him I was going to call you up, and he grabbed the phone from my friend and erased them.
What a scenario.
A hydrocele sounds like a car part. Sounds like some part of an engine.
If it is a hernia, it could be very dangerous. Because if a hernia that big, if it twists, because a hernia is just intestine that's gone through a hole, you know, a defect in the body wall. And now you've got intestine in your scrotum, and if it twists and strangulates, it can kill you. So he really does need to go and get this looked at. But I would start with a urologist, or actually he could go to his primary care doctor, and his primary care doctor may be able to dope it out. But he'll end up sending him either to a general surgeon or to a urologist, depending on what he thinks it is.
Yeah, find new friends.
Yeah, and find new friends who aren't taking pictures of your nuts.
And pantsing.
De-pantsing.
I thought you meant find new friends that don't have large testicles. Don't hang out with guys with potato testicles. They're total douchebags.
Yeah, but you guys are douchebags, first for de-pantsing him and then for going, hey, get a picture.
Yeah. Well, but they did call in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like it's causing him any pain or anything, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it still needs to get looked at, though. That's not normal.
Yeah, definitely.
Feel free to
let him know.
Okay. Hey, you homos.
Give him my...
Pants and people and taking pictures of testicles, for Christ's sake.
What
even
is that?
Somebody with a normal testicle doesn't want you to post the pictures and call a doctor about them, you know?
That's true. Good point. Good point, Heather. Good point.
That could be a good pickup, though. Hey, look at what I got.
Yeah. I have a potato testicle.
You know that's got to be filled with goodness.
Yeah.
What do you got here? You've got this
I have
plastic... thing.
It's
that's
called a pussy pump.
Okay.
And it actually has an instructional demonstration DVD.
What the hell is that? Describe it for me.
Okay, I'll describe it. Like, everyone's seen a the phallic shape, like penis pump, pretty much. This is a yonic shaped. It fits over the vulva of the vagina.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Sure.
And it has the pump on it here. You want to send a picture?
Yeah.
And you pump up the vagina to increase the size of the pussy lips. It brings the...
So it gives you the old chimp mouth.
Yeah, and apparently
or chimp
it's supposed to increase... Look at the size of her pussy.
Oh, my God.
It's supposed to increase sensitivity.
Oh, it looks like
because
she's prolapsed.
So much,
well, that
yeah.
Good.
I gotta see that.
Yeah.
Dude, Jimmy Norton's gonna love that.
I know.
Yeah, I was gonna leave it here for the boys on
yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, we'll get Eric to put it in the office and make
tell
sure
him it's
Jimmy
his
gets
H1N1 mask.
it actually,
oh,
like I
Eric's
watched
taking it home. He says
I watched the video and it. It actually made me queasy. Like, I couldn't watch the whole video.
Oh, because it shows the
it shows
parts
the, everyone
filling
is like
the,
this girl sitting at home and the guy bringing it. Say, hey, what'd you bring me, honey? Well, here, I brought you this. And then he's like, you know, seals her up and pumps her up. And
now, talk about,
like, oh, it feels so good. And it's like, oh, you know.
And yeah, just
all big and
prolapsed
rubbery.
Vagina all over the place.
Well, the way it looks is if you've ever looked into one of those little squiggly snakes. Where you
yeah.
grab a hold of it and it goes one way and it.
I'll
you
never be able to play with one of those
down.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got before and after stuff and it does. It looks like she's got a baboon ass attached to her
twat.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what I would
instead
call
of a, I think, rather than attached to.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Instead yeah. of a vagina, it looks like she has a baboon ass. And it looks like a face mask, and it's got a little pump on it. Now, for men, the penis pump actually is covered by Medicare, and you can get one at a Durable Medical Equipment. I got to stop looking at that. It's
doesn't it
trying to arouse you?
It does.
Good thing you didn't take
another
the
reason for the public option.
But for which we're going to be talking about with Foundry Music Jeff here in a couple of minutes. if you have erectile dysfunction. They will take a vacuum and put it over the penis, and it's got a cock ring on the end of it, and you pull all the air out, and when there's a decreased pressure in the tube, it forces blood into the penis, which and you then trap in there by slipping the cock ring off.
Yeah, we
and you
sell
gave
a
the
large,
jack-off motion
yeah,
that you're describing.
Yeah, I snickering
this.
Like a five-year-old
yeah.
over there.
Well, I tend to talk with my hands, and it doesn't really work on radio, but I can't do it any
like
other way.
We sell a huge variety of penis pumps, and I have had like two old men in the last month try to bring back used ones. Saying that they didn't work.
Put them on the clearance shelf.
I don't even, like the one guy, he brought it back and took it out of the package and it was wet inside. And says, it was like this when you sold it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do not, you need to leave the store. And the other guy, I said, we can't return. It's against New York State law.
Yeah.
We cannot take returns of sex toys. It's a health code violation. And he goes, I said, you need to contact the manufacturer. He goes, well, I insist that you write me a receipt, because we don't give receipts, because we don't do returns. So I wrote penis pump in huge letters on the receipt, fucker.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I'd hate to see one of these things brought back used.
No.
Ugh. Did you take it? Are you going to put that up on your Twitter, or is it just too horrifying?
No, it's already up.
Oh, it is? It's already up? Okay.
Hey, you've seen the things I've Twittered.
You can look at Todd1017, and if you have any questions, we might be able to get a few more in. Heather, it's been great having you in. I really appreciate
fun.
You coming in. I'm sorry our segment was shorter than we thought it was
going
to be.
That's okay.
But, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Weird Medicine. We'll be right back after these words.
Thank you. Just keep telling yourself that it's going to go away all on its own.
But it's only a rash.
Sure it is. It's Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the virus, Sirius 197, XM202.
340, Michael Crawford, please call 340.
You're listening to Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197, Saturday night with, normally you'd be listening to Sam and Dave, and we appreciate them throwing us a bone, as Dave said, and giving us this slot. 866-WOW1WOW, 866-969-1969. Follow Double Vasectomy Todd at Twitter at Todd1017, And he, old Voss got really beat up, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they were brutal.
Anybody say anything about me hanging off?
Yeah, you got mad props, bro. Mad props for doing that.
Pay for that at some point, I'm sure. Also, check out Heather Height at the World Room at Broadway Comedy Club Thursday, November 12th at 8:30 p.m. She's also going to be at Joker's Wild New Year's Eve with Otto and George. Nice one. 333 South Something Road in Plainview, New York. You can check that out at jokerswildcomedyclub.com. I just couldn't read your handwriting. And also check out hatespeechradio.com Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern. So right now we've got Foundry Music Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Steve. I feel a great feeling of wellness when I listen to your rejoiner music.
Oh, I'm glad you do. I do, too.
I feel
it's very
a
therapeutic.
Healing. Yes.
It's energizing, anyway. Foundry Music Jeff has the What Show. Last time you came in, you didn't have anything to plug, I guess, but now you do.
Now I'm here for the love.
Okay.
I don't need to
cool,
plug
man.
My show.
All right. You can
but
plug
I
it.
Will.
You can
it's thewhatshow.com. It's a podcast I do with my wife and another couple. Just about life and marriage and the desire to end both.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's it actually is quite entertaining.
Oh, thank you.
And
I do my best.
It's a video podcast, so and you guys do it live, and then you can watch it.
Yes, you can watch it live on HearUsTalk.com.
Okay.
It's our network of podcasts that we are a part of.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, listen, that's not what we're talking about tonight, though.
We're talking about how Steve C's wife apparently is really good at giving people bigger dicks. I know. I caught bits and pieces coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, dude, that really worked. You know, for every 35 pounds of weight you lose, you gain an inch of penis length.
Awesome.
What better reason to lose weight?
Yeah, it's the only thing that made me do it.
Yeah, that's like me. The only thing that made me quit smoking, it wasn't the cancer. It wasn't the heart disease. It was impotence. You know, it was the threat of impotence, I should say. It was the fact that the number one cause of impotence in men over 40 is tobacco abuse. And so, you know, I was hitting 40, and it was like, Jesus, it's time to quit. And all the other stuff didn't do anything. But we like to – one of the things that you bring up as our – healthcare reform correspondent is that we are
a correspondent.
Yeah, we are. You can put it on your resume.
Makes me feel like I actually know something.
Well, you have some pretty strong views about this stuff, and we're not putting you out there as an expert,
but
you are a consumer of healthcare.
Because that would be illegal.
Well, you're a consumer of healthcare,
yes.
And so you're representing those people out there that feel that we need to reform our system.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily disagree with you on very many things as far as reforming our system. I think it really, as I said earlier, you know, I've got 44-year-old patients who have cancer, who've lost their job, they're losing their house, and they can't afford their pain medicine. They can get their chemo because we can get that from the drug companies, but they, you know, all the other stuff they can't get. And
isn't that
no
fantastic?
For that.
It's a wonderful little loophole
that
a lot of people are making a lot of money from.
What's that?
The ability to profit off of people's misery.
Well, yeah, but if they don't have insurance, you can't profit off of them because they can't afford anything.
Well, it costs someone something somewhere down the line.
Right. That's right. Everybody else does pay for it somehow.
Yes.
So
and when it comes to healthcare reform, and I'm not going to get into the bipartisan rehetoric. I'm not going to rehash or retread the things you've heard on political talk shows because that, to me, is frankly extremely boring. But there are some human issues that I want to discuss. Specifically, what is our moral obligation to our fellow man?
Right.
And that seems to be one of the biggest, or actually the central issue of debate in this healthcare reform battle that apparently we almost kind of won today.
Yeah, I think
good step in the right direction.
It's breaking news. The House passes the health care bill. Final vote was 220 to 215, so it was, I think, closer than people thought it was going to be.
House Resolution 3962. Google it.
Okay. And but they didn't pass the amendments. Is that right, Jefferson? There was something failed in that. So they've passed part of it, but not everything. We'll find out more tomorrow.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of information. We're just looking at CNN here live and with the sound turned off. But anyway.
Well, I mean, a lot of people in this country, when I listen to political talk radio, feel that they are not compelled, they don't feel obligated to pay for their fellow man's health care.
Right.
Why should I have to pay? Is one of the most common things I hear
right.
On talk radio. You're part of a society, and there's a responsibility to that when you live in a society that you have to sacrifice at the same time that you reap the benefits of a functioning society like ours.
Okay.
And whenever I see people say that, I often wonder, have you ever met someone who had terminal cancer? Have you ever been so sick that you couldn't get out of bed? I was watching you talk to Big A earlier. You know, we laugh because it's kind of funny, but it's heartbreaking to see a guy who can't get a sentence out.
Yep.
Okay? And who can't breathe at night.
Yep.
And doesn't have the coverage to take care of that.
Right. Yeah, if they're...
And how can people argue against helping out someone like Big A or someone with terminal cancer?
Yeah.
Who needs it?
Well, I don't always agree with some of your points and a couple of them that you're going to bring up I'm going to vociferously disagree with. But I think that we do all contribute for the common defense. I mean, nobody says, hey, why should I pay to defend Brooklyn when I live in Tennessee? I mean, it's a common defense.
Yes.
And so I can see your argument that you should pay for the common defense of people against disease, because disease is a malady. These are maladies that cause not only suffering, but they do have an impact to society financially. If you just want to be a bean counter.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, we are a society that loves war and sports, but not wellness.
Yeah.
We celebrate misery. We love being sick.
You think so?
Oh, I absolutely. Look at California. Look at the rampant misuse of psychological diagnosis. I'm OCD. I'm depressed. I'm bipolar. Without a true understanding of what those syndromes are, to diagnose oneself because it's cool.
Do you have a diagnosis yourself, Jeff, of anything?
Me?
Yeah, personally.
Obesity, morbid obesity.
Really? No.
No.
Well, you do. You have some health problems.
I have some reflux issues. Steve, obviously worse than mine, but
nothing
they're pretty bad. No. I'm otherwise pretty healthy. I've seen a lot of people very close to me very recently die who didn't have health coverage, who by the skin of their teeth were able to get by, feed themselves.
How can you say we?
What's that?
How could you say we as a people love to be sick?
Well, you watch television, you talk to your friends. We celebrate the pathos. We celebrate the idea that we're broken instead of looking.
See, I don't think that's the whole country. I think you're only seeing certain aspects of it.
I would say predominantly.
I personally have been diabetic since I was a year old, of which something I never asked for, and I hate being sick.
Right.
I'm glad you went there, John.
Because I think you're completely off. You're not seeing the entire picture.
Until you're sick. Until you're sick.
I am sick.
I should say, that's the caveat I made.
I am sick.
No, I'm saying, but until you're sick, and it's more psychological than anything else, the idea that we have some sort of disorder that we can treat with a pill.
There are people out there, sure.
Who have legitimate psychological disorders.
I'm not talking about psychological, I'm talking about just any disorder.
Right.
Or any problem, any medical problem.
Right.
I think, Jeff, one of the things that... Because I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think one of the things you may, with Jeff, that you may be detecting in society is people, like I had anxiety syndrome before I went to medical school. I had panic attacks. And I didn't feel better until they finally made a diagnosis. You know, and when they made a diagnosis, I had something I could hang my hat on. You know, so I do think people are looking for a diagnosis because it implies that there's something that you can treat then with a pill.
Right.
Yeah, and I obviously not all.
It's almost religious in a way, if you think about it.
Well, there is certainly a spiritual aspect to that. You know, if you go to the Philippines, and there are some areas in we saw this movie when I was in medical school, and it was up in the highlands in the Philippines, and they had shamans, you know, shamanistic medicine. They would wave palm fronds over their people. Well, 90% of their patients got better doing that. And you know what? If 90% of our patients get better too with some of the things that we do that would probably get better if we did nothing.
Right, but here's the
because
difference
that's
between
a spiritual
the two
aspect
cultures.
To it.
In our culture, it costs us money, a lot of
right.
it. A lot of it. And for those who seek out those diagnoses, while other people who have legitimate illnesses like diabetes and cancer and heart disease and so forth, they wait in line.
Yeah.
And they pay the price.
Well, of course,
and
if your
premiums
in,
go up.
If
you're talking about people that identify themselves through their disorder.
The disease, correct.
I do know people who do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've...
Whether they have one or not.
Right. I've had patients that define themselves based on their chronic pain and stuff. I do see that. I think some of that is because chronic pain really does affect you in a mental and spiritual way, too. You know, it affects your very core.
Absolutely.
When you're hurting all the time. So, but what else have
Absolutely.
You got?
But we have a certain amount of... We have a pool of resources here. A certain
yep.
amount of money to treat a certain amount of things. So I was looking at ways to save.
Yep.
What we can cut, what we can keep. And the first thing on the list that was recommended to me by a friend of mine is supportive therapies.
Yep.
I, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know the insurance companies pay for things like group therapies, marriage therapies, spousal abuse, rape, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Insurance companies pay for that.
Right, so, because those are maladies that need to be treated.
This is where you and I agree. I don't think that's a malady. That's a condition of the mind.
Okay.
But there are people with real maladies that can be treated with real science.
Yeah.
That should have priority.
Are you saying that psychotherapy is not real science? Is that
I'm saying that there are quantitative there is science, there's quantitative science that could treat illnesses that are tangible, okay, that we have done research on.
But that there's no pill for spousal
there's no
abuse.
Pill, there's no pill for rape, there's no pill for...
Wow.
Rape pill.
All right.
Let's Sorry.
All right, and I'm going to be maybe... I don't know if this is a... I don't know what you call this. But so let's analyze this a little bit. Let's stick a dick in your mom's ass from some guy down the street and see if she doesn't need therapy after
right,
that.
Right. But this is
without getting
the emotional reactionary
it.
Response
right.
to
well,
what
I'm just saying.
I'm
that's
saying,
when it becomes personal. That's
right.
when it actually
no, you're
hits
right.
you. Yeah,
of course, right. but when you're in a position where you have limited resources and you have to allocate those resources, the decision to cut things like this are very, very tough, and it would free up millions upon millions of dollars for people that have illnesses that can actually be treated.
Wow. See, I think those – but when you have post-traumatic stress disorder, counseling has been shown to help that, and people who have been raped very often and understandably so have post-traumatic stress. And we're focusing in on the rape thing because it's such an outrageous suggestion, you know, that we've already forgotten about all the other things that you said.
I'm not oblivious to the other side.
Yeah.
I really am not. But, you know,
If you have to eliminate something, eliminate
If
that.
I'm going to eliminate something, we should start with that. The second thing on my list here
Do
is,
you not think, though, before you get to that,
yeah.
that... We can do this without eliminating things.
No.
Are we going to have to eliminate things?
Where's the money coming from?
Okay.
If there was more, if there was money for everything, I would pay for breast enlargements and teeth whitening.
Yeah.
If there was money, but there isn't.
It's 15% of our population that
isn't
covered. I still feel like
it is.
That, you know, if you're over 65, you have Medicare. What did I miss something?
Yeah, he said he would pay for teeth whitening and breast enlargement if there was plenty of money. And I said, yeah, but that is paid for.
Yeah.
I said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
No, I'll pay for it. But if you're over 65, you can get Medicare. If you're below a certain income, you get Medicaid. If you have a job that covers you, then you've got insurance. And then there's that 15% of people. Can't we figure out a way just to cover those 15% of people without throwing out the baby with the bathwater? That's my question. I know it's 45 million people, but that's 15% of the population. And can't we figure out a way to cover that sliver of the population without everybody else?
I don't see how you can
everything.
Do that without cutting non-essential programs. And this is the problem. What is a non-essential program?
Yeah.
In my opinion, non-essential program is anything non-life-threatening Physical pain.
Yeah.
How about we just treat the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people?
That's or the redheads with green eyes.
That's a good idea.
Are you calling this?
Well,
a,
he's being sarcastic.
Are you calling this a fascist idea? Because I don't think it's fascist. I think it's.
I'm sorry.
I think it's fair. I think it's really it's fair, and I am not unsympathetic to the emotional pain that people who go to these therapies are going through. I really am not. But there are people in actual physical screaming pain. Also people
can't measure pain.
You have a system.
No.
Well, yeah, you
it's
can't a do a blood test.
It's subjective.
It's very subjective.
So you can't measure pain.
Plus people that are subjected to prolonged emotional pain can contract physical ailments and maladies due to that. It weakens their immune system and can cause things that are
you talking
you
about mental pain or physical pain?
Mental pain.
You can't separate mind from body. That is absolutely true. I mean, you can't have a mind without a body, and it's very difficult to have a functioning body without a mind. Yeah, well, you can't have a functioning body without a mind. So
the other problem is it's a very chronic thing that could go on for years.
Yeah.
And how long does one have to continue paying for that?
Well, I agree.
What is cured?
What's our responsibility to society? And if people have chronic problems, we're not going to euthanize them. And I think not treating them is not an appropriate...
Well, Steve, what's one of the first things that they asked you to say right after you finished medical school?
The
Hippocratic
Oath.
Yeah.
And what is that? Do no harm?
First, do no harm.
Well, that's part of it.
Part of it.
But, there is mental harm. There's no question about that.
Right.
And,
I'm talking to doctors.
Yep.
But who I'm really talking to are bureaucrats.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that have to decide how to allocate money. I would never tell a doctor not to treat a woman's mental health after rape.
Right.
I'm glad to hear
but we're
that.
But I'm talking about the government, the health insurance companies.
Yep.
How they divvy up their resources.
Yeah.
And who should get them first?
Well, we got somebody on the line that's angry at you. It's Justin in New Jersey.
Is it my wife?
Oh. Justin.
Yes.
Go. You're on Weird Medicine.
Real quick, I just got to tell you something, man. You really have, if you've had, sicknesses before, that's fine. But until you've had a real ailment of the mind that completely wrecks your body and causes other problems and causes other ailments that wind up costing even more in the long run. You really shouldn't talk out of your ass, man. It's
right. I can't argue with someone who's suffering from that particular illness at this present time.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. I got in a really bad situation in college. I accidentally killed somebody on a wrestling mat, and I had to live with that, and I still got to live with that for the rest of my life.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, when I caught Lyme's disease, and I got fibromyalgia from it, and post-traumatic stress just made it 10 times worse. And, my state-subsidized health care had to wind up, paying for half of that. And I'll tell you something. Ever since I got treatment for the post-traumatic stress, I don't need treatment for the fibromyalgia anymore.
Yeah.
So, where does your argument, really come into play when you really are uninformed and you should get shot in the shape? In the face with a shit gun, you really should.
Thanks, Justin. Let's
I'm going to use that one, Justin.
Actually, threaten or
not familiar with that firearm.
No one out there needs to throw feces.
I think
Anthony
needs one.
Face with the shit gun.
But
Anthony needs one.
I do think that it does that mental problems like this cause a decrease in productivity, which does affect society, and I think it's worth paying for.
All right.
I really do. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Let's see what Jeff in Pittsburgh has to say about it. Jeff, go.
Hey, it's actually Joel from roundfest.net.
Oh, okay. Cool, man.
When you got people that are calling in and say, like, they've got mental problems, the same people are going to be shooting people. You're going to have physical problems after the fact because they're not treated. It's not paid for by everyone else. And they're going to be the ones that are going to be killing you.
Yeah, we're not actually. He's speaking metaphorically or hypothetically, but
and those aren't personal opinions, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, well, I don't think we solved anything here tonight.
Oh, man.
But,
we're done?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you not hear the music? Seriously, you can't hear it?
I'll put a shit gun in my mouth.
Okay. Thanks for coming. Foundry Music Jeff from The What Show. What's the website?
It's www.thewhatshow.com and hearustalk.com to see our other podcasts.
Okay, and do you have one of those chat rooms where people can say things to
Absolutely,
you guys in there?
Yes.
So, yeah, you can give Jeff help.
It's all one-stop shop right there in that domain.
Check out Heather Height at hatespeechradio.com. Anybody else have anything to plug? Jefferson, thanks for being here. Todd, Double Vasectomy Todd. Well, you changed your Twitter name, and now I'm getting confused. Double Vasectomy Todd, follow him at Todd1017, and he'll keep you updated. Rob from Elizabethton, thanks for being here, man. Go ahead and say something, since you've been sitting there expectantly all night and then didn't say anything.
He said, so, I said a few things.
I know you did. I'm proud of you, man. Good job. I'm glad you guys were here. And P.A. John, thanks, man. You've been with this project from the very beginning. And heartfelt, I really appreciate your support and you being here the whole time. Speaking of friends, Ronnie B. has been a huge friend of this show and behind the scenes, and I can't say enough about what a great man he is. We love Ron and Fez. We love Opie and Anthony. Without these weirdly generous people, Weird Medicine would not exist. And that brings us to you, the listener, our most important resource. You never cease to amaze me with your kind words and insanely great medical questions. Don't forget to call our voicemail line if you didn't get on tonight, 423-DIE-TUTIE. That's 423-343-8884, because we will be back and on a regular schedule very, very soon. So you can leave your voicemail questions there and we'll answer them. So for P.A. John, Todd, Jefferson, Rob, and me, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, and get off your asses and get some exercise. And we'll see you soon for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Dublin, no.